This episode is sponsored by CastleManiaGames.com. CastleMania specializes in retro and modern video game accessories. Their store includes new retro accessories from HD Retrovision, Eon Gaming, Retrobit, and more. They also carry products from modern games to consoles and accessories, as well as homebrew and repo parts. At checkout, use the coupon code THEGAMERSLOUNGE to get 10% off your order. Thanks again to CastleMania Games for sponsoring this show. Everybody, welcome back to the Gamers Lounge Podcast. My name is John Moos. With me, as always, is Dennis, Eric, Robert, Nathaniel. I have to look at the screen and go in a circle to remember who all's here.
A lot of us.
Everybody's here today. So, it's like, I got to remember. Wait a minute. There's actually everybody here. That's good.
Merry holidays, everyone.
It's, oh, yes.
It's already here.
Yes, yep. Celebrate Hanukkah, happy Hanukkah. That's going on. If you celebrate Christmas, Merry Christmas. If got all the holidays going on right now.
I can't remember them all.
I only remember Hanukkah and Christmas, and that's just because my niece and her kids are Jewish, so that's the only reason I remember Hanukkah, other than I have a few Jewish friends, so it happens.
It's a lot around this time, just so many holidays. It's hard to keep up with it all, honestly.
Yeah, so,
but they all more or less do the same thing. So.
Yeah.
Happy holidays, too.
Yes, happy holidays. Whatever holiday you celebrate. Even if it's a pagan holiday. Happy holidays. it's fine.
We're all inclusive here.
Yeah. We don't judge. I don't judge.
We're like a sandals resort.
A sandals resort.
Doritos Day.
I don't know what a sandals resort is, so you might have to explain that one to me.
It's just all inclusive.
Oh, all inclusive. Okay. We don't get commercials for those kind of things here.
I got those commercials in Ohio when I was growing.
I don't ever remember seeing those commercials.
Man.
So that one was a new one. It caught me off guard, but sandals. What sandals? I wear sandals. Does that count?
I think you're only allowed to wear sandals there.
If it's warm enough, that's fine. I'm not wearing. I tried wearing sandals this morning, and that was the biggest mistake in the world when I stepped out on the front porch, and it was, the wind chill was 21 below, and I'm like, ooh, the socks on these sandals are not thick enough.
I didn't have any problems wearing sandals today.
Well, that's because you're on the other side of the world, so it's still morning over there where you're at. Yeah, we're already through the day, and you're just getting up and getting started. So
I don't know what you're talking about. It's getting chilly. It is a brisk 77.
Ooh,
here right now.
77. I will see your 77, and I will raise you -1. So
grab those mittens.
Yeah.
Listen, it gets down to 66 at night, okay?
Ooh,
that's chilly.
Yeah, when we were in Florida a couple weeks ago, it actually got down to 50, and there was people walking around in parkas, and I was like, really? I'm still wearing my shorts and t-shirt? And it's like, okay, you're all cold, I get it, whatever. It's cold for them, so I can't imagine what it is now, because I think it's dipping down in there. If it's cold where Nathaniel's at, it's got to be even colder than normal in Florida right now. So
yeah. It's like 19 degrees over there or something.
Yeah, that's crazy for North Carolina. So, but I don't. Well, years I was down there, I never remember it being in the teens. Maybe once or twice. So
makes me want to cancel my trip.
There was maybe a time. There was a really bad winter storm that happened. I must have been like, I don't remember how, but I want to say this was maybe either in the late 90s or early 2000s, maybe no later than 2001, 2002, but it was so bad that everyone had to basically, like, go to a hotel.
You mean in North Carolina? That would be 2002 in December or early January. I was down there when it happened. They had an ice storm, and I couldn't get home that day. I came home the next day, and here it was below zero. Everything had three sheets of ice on it, and we didn't have electricity for a week and a half.
That sounds right.
And we didn't have hotels, so I slept under seven blankets at the house till the power came back on.
That's crazy.
I remember, growing up in Ohio, and it's just it's snowing is just par for the course. So like it's no big deal, and we'd have frozen pipes. There'd be no heat at school, and they're just like, "No, you're still coming." We're prepared for this. You only get 6 days, and damn it, we're not using them.
Right. So
you're coming to school.
It's like that here, but and I don't mind the cold and I don't mind the snow, but man, when it gets below zero and the wind chill is ridiculous, forget it. It's just
It's the wind is what makes it bad, honestly, because I love the cold, but the moment it gets windy and you feel that basically get smacked with ice, it becomes unbearable.
If I have to put a toboggan on with a hood and a mask to cover my face, and literally the only thing you see is my glasses, and it's cold outside because
that's not going to work because then your glasses will immediately fog up.
Yeah, and the fog freezes and the fog freezes to it. So there you go. So it's funny how that works, but it'll only last for a couple of days, and we don't have anywhere to go, so it's fine. I can stay in the house. So, other than my poor little puppy who does not like the cold, and she looks terrified every time I carry her outside to use the bathroom. This morning at 4 o'clock, she was like, "What is this stuff all over the ground? Oh, it's cold and wet. Oh, come on."
We had pugs, and we had to, carry them outside, and we'd set them down in the snow, and then they just wouldn't move.
Yeah.
Their curled tails would all just, unwind, and just droop down, and they just look back at you, why? Why do you hate me?
I'm pooping in the house today.
Yeah, you set her down, and she takes her left front leg and her right back leg, and she goes like this and balances on the two and then puts them down and does it again. She's like, "Oh, I don't want all my feet touching. It hurts. Oh, wait, I can't." It's like, what are you doing? Just if you just pee, as soon as I set you down, we'll scoop you back up and bring you in the house, and it'll be all nice and warm.
But
she's 6 pounds, and she's thin as paper, so it's like she's so tiny, she just doesn't know what's going on. But anyway, we got games to talk about. We haven't had a show in a couple weeks. I've had some things going on, so I haven't been able to record. So, we at least have this show this week to catch up on some things. I haven't played a whole lot. I've tested a whole lot on Steam Deck again because Ubisoft released Valhalla and Immortals Fenyx Rising on Steam, and they were both, I know Fenyx Rising was like $15, and I think Valhalla was $20. They were both on sale for first couple of weeks of release, so I wanted to get them to try on Steam Deck. I knew Fenyx Rising would run real well on the Steam Deck because it runs real good on Switch. So, but I was real interested to see how Valhalla was. Valhalla is 160 gigs, which is just ridiculous. I ended up getting another 512 memory card for just games that I have over 100 gigs.
In a case, it labeled it.
Yeah, it's my 512 card. I put three games on it, and I filled it up. Valhalla, Red Dead Redemption 2, and the Mass Effect Remastered Collection, and I think I maybe have 50 gigs left on it that I could put one more game on there if I wanted to. I'm like, okay, now I literally cleared those three games off, or two of those three games off of my...
How much are the 1 terabyte cards still? Are they still
$100. You can catch them on sale for $100.
$100.
Yeah, which is, it's not too bad. I mean, $100. The 512, I think I got it on sale for $50, $40, something like that.
I got the 400 gigabyte one several months ago for $30.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, I need just a card to carry these big games on. So, but Valhalla runs great. I can get it on medium to high settings at 40 to 50 frames a second on the Steam Deck, and it works really, really well. I tell you what, though, the thing I love the best about the Ubisoft games is, let me go on the Xbox and upload my save and then go to the PC and go, look, there it is. I can just continue to play it.
Yeah,
it's
like,
I absolutely love that.
Yeah, I do too. And that's what I like about the Microsoft games. You know, they just automatically do it. You just log in, it just pulls from the cloud, and boom, you go. But those two run really well. The other one, some of them I'm not going to talk about because I know, like, Nathaniel played two of them, and we can talk about them when Nathaniel gets down there because he's probably played more of them than I have. One of them I played, I got a code sent to me. It's called Counter Humanity. It's like a, I think it's made by one guy. It's kind of like a, oh, Vampire Survivors game, but you're a supervillain that you just fight off swarms of people trying to kill you. So you can,
but you're the villain?
But you're the villain, yeah. So you got, like, Superman laser eyes, and you got super strength, and you could, like, slam into cars and blow them up. Cops just show up, and you're just blowing up. It's a lot of blood, guts, and gore. It's okay if you like those kind of games. I don't think it's going to be more than $5, you know, so it's not, like, a graphically intense game. I only played it on the Steam Deck, and it really doesn't have controller support. So it was kind of hard to figure out how to do things, but it's okay. I mean, if you like those vampire style games, it's just wave after waves of police and innocent people that you're gunning down, which is kind of weird. It's like, you know, it's like, what if you were the supervillain? Okay. I mean, but is that all you're going to give me? Is just you're the, right, I mean, right. You know, and it has, like, destructible buildings. You can knock, you can just tear through buildings and, you know, cause the buildings to fall down and stuff like that. But it's okay. I mean, it's nothing graphically to write home about or anything like that, but it's fine. And I've been playing a lot of Marvel Snap here lately. Of course, because, you know,
me too.
When you're in a in the hotel. What's your level up to now? Are you up to where you can get the credits to save to buy your cards that you want, or
I think so, yeah.
I'm not quite up that high yet. I'm going to load it up here and I'll tell you. I'm at 481. Oh, get your Christmas presents. It's day four 481. Of your Christmas presents. Still enjoying that game.
Yeah, it's still fun.
Check your credit cards. They randomly charged me for another season pass the other day for no apparent reason whatsoever.
Was that the second time?
Yeah.
I'm 778.
Is it the same season pass? What they're charging you for?
Yeah, it's $10 every month.
It's $10 every month, but I bought it on I bought it on the 2nd, and then on the 12th it charged again for some reason. So
interesting.
Yeah, it was weird. I have my Apple card connected to my the store, so it was just like, nope, let's dispute that charge because I don't know why it charged again, you know. Because God knows there's no, like, customer service that you can just grab onto and say, hey.
Yeah.
Have you checked your subscriptions in the App Store?
Yep.
To make sure that it's not listed?
Okay. Yep. Yeah, and I don't know why it just randomly charged again for it. It was just like a random charge on there. I thought, oh, well, maybe it didn't charge the first time. It just took a couple days for it to go. No, it just charged again. So. Whatever, Trevor. Yeah.
Watch your money.
Yeah. Hey, let's sneak one in there and see what happens. See if he notices. Yeah.
See if he notices.
Oh, crap, he did. Okay, we'll give it back to you. We were just checking to make sure you were paying attention. So.
With stuff like that, like, I don't know how, like, Apple's return policy is for stuff like that. Like, are they sort of smooth and easy, sort of like Steam is, or do they sort of become sort of like a foreign
person? I've had to dispute a few Google charges before. It depends on the app and depends on, like, how much you spent.
Okay.
How fast you can dispute it.
I didn't have any problems. I literally just filed it, and then, like, a day later they go, okay, and then we're going to credit your money back. In, like, 3 to 5 days they gave me a credit on my card again. You know, it was easy peasy.
I've never had anything like that happen through the App Store, but
that's the first time I've ever happened.
So.
And I don't either. This is really the other. You know, I think I've bought one other app that has a subscription, a yearly subscription to it, and this was the first time it ever happened to me. So it was strange.
Yeah. But I mean, the most managing that I do on there is just canceling my free trials before they, you know, charge me.
I don't even do free trials hardly anymore. I mean, it's just I don't know. I don't use a lot of apps on my phone. unless they're giving me free stuff. One of the other games I played was, thanks to Dennis, he sent over a code for Chained Echoes on Steam. I played maybe the first hour and a half of it. I know it's a 16-bit style. A lot of people were calling it like a Chrono Trigger like game, which I haven't got deep enough in it to go, oh yeah, that is like Chrono Trigger, but it feels very Chrono Triggery, just with the jumps in time and at the beginning and stuff. But I've only played it just a little bit. I know, Dennis, you played it more than I have. You probably beat it, I'm going to guess.
No. But I want to say I was probably maybe about halfway through it. Yeah. It's a beautifully designed game. I mean, just the pixel art is incredible.
Yeah.
I just wish it wasn't so. My only gripe, and it has nothing to do with the game itself, actually, but I've never been the craziest for, like, and not that it's 100% there, but I've never been the craziest for like steampunk stuff. Yeah. You know, and so everything's very, very rustic, and you know, and brown. So I'm usually not the craziest for stuff like that. You know, I like my vibrant colors and my fantasy stuff and things like that. So, but that aside, I mean, you know, again, that's just me nitpicking. Other than that, the game itself is great. It plays great, runs great, it's definitely scratching that, you know, that retro. Mm-hmm. itch while still having, you know, modern mechanics and ideas that you don't typically see in games like these, because I think a lot of games get so fixated on wanting to be nostalgic, you know, so they just try to make, you know, an old game but in 2022 again, you know, but this is like, no, we're gonna give you the vibes and we're gonna give you the atmosphere, but we're going to give you, you know, modern quality of life, you know, things and mechanics to make sure that you get the most optimal experience out of it, too.
Yeah. So. There's a lot of times playing it, I'm like, oh, yeah, I could see me playing this on the Genesis back in the day. And then I see a 3D, you know, the moving background behind this, and I go, yeah, no, I can't. You couldn't have done that on the Genesis back in the day. But
unless it was like a video file.
yeah. But, you know, like when you're playing it, you kind of get... I don't know if get lost in it is the right word, but you don't think about, oh, this is a modern game. It feels very old, but with, like you said, with a lot of modern things to it. I like it. I like it a lot. I think it's on Game Pass. I think it's on PC Game Pass.
It is. Yeah.
And Xbox Game Pass, so you can try it out there if you like it. I was going to buy it anyway. As soon as I saw it, I was like, I'm buying that game. That's a game that I want. And then Dennis magically sent me a code, and it was like, oh, you know, well, good. I don't have to buy it. Yay.
Well, yeah, I checked the night before because I noticed it was on your wish list, and I was like, perfect. I got a code. It'll go to a great home. And I'll get it to John. And I
bought it. I bought it that night. He looked at the list and just, I was like, and I went back and forth with it for a long time, going, do I want to buy it right this minute? It just came out. No, I'll wait. And then about 10 minutes later, like, oh, no, I really want to buy that. No, I'll just wait. And then I went ahead and buy it. And then, then all of a sudden it was like, oh, you know. It's, you know, oh, wait, Dennis sent me one. Awesome. Let me just return that on Steam and then use my codes.
I'll tell you what, though. That's like the equivalent, because I can't tell you how many times I've been in that situation, right, where it's just like, you know, you get something and then all of a sudden it'll be either number one, just shadow dropped on Game Pass, or number two, you know, being given away for free at the Epic Game Store. And I'm like, God damn.
Yeah, like, I know. It's, you know, like, it's like,
but you can never anticipate these things.
You can't. And there's some games that, even though they give away free on, you know, on Game Pass or whatever, that I'll still buy because it's like, well, I know I'll want that game, you know, for a while. It's not just wanting just to have it on Game Pass. Although that's what I love about Game Pass, though. It's like, I try that game out and go, ooh, I really like that. And then it's like, oh, well, maybe I'll buy that on Xbox, or I'll buy it on PC so I can play it on Steam or on the Steam Deck or something like that. I do like that, because, you know, it's like I've just been sitting at the Steam store all weekend, or all all day going, what do I want to buy? Stuff's on sale. I need to buy something.
The entire storefront's on sale. Yeah, and it's just, you feel like obligated to have to like get something, even if there's nothing really that interesting.
Yeah, it's like you're obligated. You know, it's like, you know, it's like, oh, maybe I'll buy that. Well, I don't know. Maybe I won't. It's like, Gotham Knights is finally playable on Steam Deck. I'm like, oh, maybe I'll, even though I bought it on Xbox, maybe I'll buy it on Steam so I can play it on the Steam Deck. Maybe I won't. It's $30. And then, like, Game Bullet puts it on sale for $25, and I'm like, oh, dang it. All right, I'll buy it for $25. You know, it's like...
Well, there you go. Because there's that $25 that was spent on Chained Echoes, right? So you paid it forward,
exactly,
right?
Sure, yeah.
You got promoted back from that, and now you got the Gotham Knights. They worked out.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it worked. And so I've got that downloaded. I'm going to try that game out and see how that works.
I'm curious to see how it is, though. Like, I'm interested to hear what you have to say about it, just because, I mean, I don't know how much they've patched it since it's come out, but, you know, even on modern platforms, it hasn't been running the best, you know, it's not optimized at all.
Literally installed it on the Xbox, installed all the updates and stuff, and the other day, I was down here doing laundry, I literally booted it up, watched the beginning movie, opening cinematic, where, spoiler alert, Batman gets killed. And that was all I watched. It was like, well, that looked really good, but I got no chance to actually play the game. It was like...
I heard it's a... like, the only reason why I'm, like, really interested in it... I mean, I love Batman games in general.
Yeah, I do too.
I just wish it didn't... I just wish it didn't run, you know, as bad as it seemed. Because I think that'd be a really cool game to play on the Steam Deck. But also, I've been hearing more often than not that it's really a... I mean, you know, you have four playable characters, but it's really a Batgirl-focused story.
Yeah.
And I love Batgirl. She's always been one of my favorite superheroes. So, and I've read her entirety of well, not every single comic, but I've read the entirety of her New 52, and then I've read most of her Rebirth series. So, I love, you know, Batgirl as a superhero. So, I mean, just hearing that just increased my interest even more in Gotham Knights, but yeah, I just feel like that. I think as padding, that definitely should have probably come out on Game Pass, just to not, because I feel like if it was on Game Pass, I mean, you'd still have a bunch of disappointed people, obviously, because of the way that it runs, but people, I think, wouldn't have been as aggressive if they weren't spending 60, 70 plus dollars MSRP on something that they ultimately probably just wanted a refund, you know. So
right,
yeah, that's true.
I've been very tempted to pick it up. I'm always looking for a good co-op game for me and Michelle, but you know, I did some research on it, and apparently the progress is a little weird. So like, only the host gets to save their progress; the other person just gets to keep whatever like power ups or gear or whatever they get. So then, like. That'd be fine, I guess, but we'd have to go back and let her be host and help her get through those same missions again. So I'd basically be replaying the game, or we'd both be playing the game through twice. And so I put off getting it when it was on sale on the PSN. They had like the deluxe edition on sale, but I skipped out on that. And now they have the regular edition, and I'm like, oh, well, maybe it was like 30. I think it's like $35 right now. But then I remembered the progress issue, and I don't know. I don't know if it's worth that much money to have to go through that hassle.
25 is a nice price. I don't think it's local co-op. I think it's
it's online co-op.
It's online. And I don't even know, have they even implemented that stuff yet? Is it even live? I don't even know if the co-op's just live yet or not.
I think the two person co-op's live. I don't think the four person co-op's live.
Maybe that's what it was. I knew there was something.
The story is only two person co-op.
Right.
So the four person is, I don't know, missions or something.
Yeah. Probably side missions and stuff like that.
It seems like a missed opportunity, honestly. That seems like a half-baked sort of idea that should have been implemented, quite frankly.
Gotham Knights is half-baked across the board. It should
the whole game is
half-baked. It should have been at least two more years so they could have ironed it out. Like, the fact that game looks worse than the previous Batman game on the last gen is like, come on. What are you doing?
Definitely saying something.
Yeah. And like, just the design of the world is a lot more kind of straightforward and bland. They didn't like design it as much. It just looks like a city. It doesn't look like Gotham City to me from all the footage of it. So it's just kind of like, okay, you guys had to get a game out. And you just finally had to put it out because you're running out of money or something.
We'll find out. I'm gonna play it here in the next couple days. I'm gonna download it to the PC too, so I can see what it looks like on the PC and the Xbox and the Steam Deck, and because I'm anxious to see how it runs on a tricked out PC compared to the Xbox. That's what I'm kind of interested to see, because I know they say console version doesn't run as well. So,
the PC from when it first came out. Maybe they patched it, but now, but man, the Digital Foundry videos on that game are ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's the most negative they've been on a game in a while.
Yeah,
I just remember seeing the videos of Red Hood driving the motorcycle. It looks like he's going like 20 miles an hour down the road compared to like the Batmobile in Arkham Knight. And I'm just like, how did you mess this up? You had everything.
Yeah, you had it there. So
it's had wheels.
You had wheels. Literally, all you had to do was take the skin and just put it on there, and it just works. You know, it's like, you know. But you know, look, what do I know? Yeah, I mean, I'm not a game dev, so I don't know.
Well, look, I think the reason why I'm not so hurt about Gotham Knights being not living up to expectations is because, you know, we still have Suicide Squad to look forward to.
Yeah.
And that game, I feel like, is going to be, because that's the one that's like, that one's rock steady, right? This one wasn't rock steady.
No, this was the same people that did Origin,
right?
Yeah.
Arkham Origins, yeah.
Oh, fair.
It's WB Montreal, I think.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Okay. Yeah, I think so. Which I liked Origins. I liked that game. It was fun. I enjoyed it, but you know, to me, it's unless you just totally screw up a Batman story, you know, it's like.
Yeah.
But all right. So
is Gotham the same size or is it smaller, bigger?
I don't know.
Does anybody know?
I don't have a clue.
No idea.
I'll let you know. I'll let you know next show, because I'll play by then. So I will have it played by then. I just downloaded it this afternoon, so I will have it. I will have some playtime on it by then. So I'll let you know how big it is.
Perfect.
What the deal is, as the kids say. So Nathaniel, me and you both played Witcher 3 in another game. I don't know if you want to talk about Portal RTX first or not.
Portal RTX isn't going to take that long, so we can start there.
All right, because I haven't downloaded it yet to try out the RTX on it. So
yeah, so it's a little weird because like if you own Portal, you can get Portal RTX, but it's a separate game listing. It's not like an upgrade within the same thing.
Okay,
which makes sense after looking into it. Is like it's just running like completely a different thing. It's not like you could just like toggle it on in there. They had to do a whole bunch of stuff under the hood to make it work.
Gotcha.
But it's pretty much just like, hey, this is Portal, and we added complete ray tracing in there, so it does all the path tracing that's literally doing everything for the lighting in there. And then they updated some of the textures here and there, but it pretty much is just like, hey, here's Portal with fancier lighting.
Oh, okay.
Pretty much. And it's like, you also
sounds
have like,
great.
I mean, it has the reflections and other stuff too, but Portal isn't built to have reflections as much. It's not as much like super reflective surfaces, so it's not like, say, Control, where you're like, hey, let me look at all these like glass windows and see the character and all this stuff. You get a little bit of stuff like the, well, technically not water, but all the like the liquid stuff that you'll see, or sometimes some of the tiles, you'll get it just right. But the coolest stuff is like just the when you're putting portals out, and then like the portals themselves have light sources, so you see that kind of the way that works is you can actually see it a lot better. They also did some fun stuff to where the portals that you see through a portal, so that's like the infinite, like however deep it goes, like five or six, to where because it's ray traced, you're seeing the exact same thing. They're not faking it like they had to for the original game. So it's like the original game, you look at it, it kind of like is less detail as you go into the, you know, deep into the layers of portals.
Yeah.
So this one, you're like, look into it like, oh, hey, no, that's exactly it. You could just see. It's the same sharpness all the way through, same detail.
Huh.
But yeah.
Do you know what the requirements are off the top of your head?
You have to have a ray tracing card. I don't know as far as kind of PCs. I wasn't getting super high frame rates on mine. I've got a 3080 card.
Okay.
But it is fairly heavy if you turn everything up, but there's some stuff you can tweak to kind of like optimize it, and there's, like, I think Digital Foundry did a video on it, and plenty of other people have. So you can tweak some stuff to get it to run decently, but
minimum,
it'll depend on what resolution you want to run it at is going to dictate probably what you need.
Yeah, the minimum specs on Steam say GeForce RTX 3060 and 16 gigs of RAM.
Yeah, I think
I can run it.
Some people probably run it on the 2000 level cards, but
yeah,
It's not going to run well. And then apparently, unless they patched it AMD cards with ray tracing, it does not work, which seemed more like a bug. They were showing it on like Digital Foundry's video about it. Was here's an equivalent system where the only thing different is the graphics card, and there's kind of like the similar level graphics card for AMD, and it's running at like single frames per second, whereas like the NVIDIA one was running at, you know, normal frame rate. So like it's kind of a weird bug probably, but seeing as how it's NVIDIA who kind of put this together, maybe they just didn't prioritize that part.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Yeah, isn't that funny how that works? Yeah, because I have a... So
this is the...
Oh, go ahead.
This is kind of like the first, not beta, but the first thing that they're doing that's like, what do they call it? They have like retro RTX or something. I don't think that's the proper name, but they're going to start putting out ray-traced versions of older games like Portal. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of like the first one, but I think it's, I don't think it's going to be, it'd be almost like a pack of things or something. I don't remember. It's kind of vague at this point. So we might be seeing more and more of these over time, which would be cool.
Yeah, I have the, my graphics card is the 20, what is it? It's the one right before.
2070?
Yeah, 2070 Super or whatever they call it. Whatever the highest one was out right before the 3000 series came out. That's what I have.
Well, that's not that, no.
I don't know.
No, 2000 is like the thousands level is like the generation of cars, but then you get like the higher the number, so 60, 70, 80, 90. That's what where it goes. And so like 70 would be kind of like the mid-range.
I think mine's the 80. Maybe mine's the 2080. I don't know. I'd have to look it up.
But then they also make it confusing where they have those regular versions come out, and then later they put out super versions, and it's all just like ridiculous.
Right. And I can I can never remember what one I have. That's the thing. It's like I can never remember. I actually literally have to go and look it up on the computer. It's like, what do I have again? Because I don't remember.
It's easy enough to look in the driver and it will tell you.
Yeah, it's like, oh, dang on it. Why can't I remember this thing?
But you don't have a clear side panel on your machine where you just stare at the name of your graphics.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, right. Yeah, that would be way
easier.
I
have a clear panel on my PC, but it sits on the floor, so I'd have to go under my desk.
I do.
I'm staring at mine right now. I'll never forget it.
I'd have to bend my head down.
I got mine right here, and all I can do is I can lean over and look, and it just says PYN is all it says. So there you go. That's all it says. So that doesn't help me at all. It doesn't help me at all. But yeah, so I don't know. I always have to look it up.
Yeah.
But anyway, so.
Yeah, that's pretty much just Portal RTX. It's pretty much exactly what's on the cover. It's like, hey, here's Portal, but with some fancy, fancy ray tracing that we threw in there. Ooh. And it, you know, it works pretty well for the most part. I played like maybe an hour or hour and a half of it or so. I didn't finish.
Well, shoot, you almost beat it. You should have just kept going.
Yeah, it was like Portal's like, what, 3 hours?
Or yeah, it's not very long.
I kind of got, you know, about midway through. And then I was like, okay, that's fine. I don't need to finish this. I've played Portal 1 like more than once already, so.
Right.
I got the gist of it. I also will have a Vampire Survivors check here where I'm over, up to, I think, about 16 hours in that game now.
Oh, wow, yeah.
It's just throw on a podcast and play that game while it's going, and it's just, like, ridiculous, just, like, chewing through stuff, and you don't have to pay super attention, close attention to it, just enough, depending on if you're actually trying to do anything, like, hey, I want to go find this relic in this level, or I want to, you know, survive for however long with this specific character because it unlocks like one of the achievements, that kind of thing.
Right.
Or if you're just like, I was going there and do whatever, and like things will get destroyed from all the crazy stuff flying around the screen while I'm listening to this podcast. But the way they do the achievements in that game is really fun, because I don't know that there's one more than that's worth more than like 10 Xbox achievement points. They're all like usually 5 or 10. So there is a ton of achievements in that game. And I think I've got like up to like maybe 2/3 of them now.
Oh, wow.
So I've played a lot of that game. I still need to unlock the final levels because I haven't bothered to do it because I've been going through like characters and stuff. There's a lot in that game. I just unlocked a dog character today, which is fun because it has like flower farts. Even though it's not what it calls, but that's what it looks like on screen. Like these little flower particles come up from the back end of the dog. So it's not like you're coming out the front, and then they explode and cause damage to enemies. So I'm like, all right, sure.
Sure, yeah.
That's not the weirdest weapon in that game.
That's great.
All silly, weird pixel art goofiness. But yeah, it's just a really fun, just kind of semi, you're not like idle in that game, but you're like just above that. You're just like, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Until it gets to the, if you survive the full 30 minutes of a level, though, then it's ridiculous, because it's just like hordes of enemies full of all the bullets that you've got going out and all the things circling around. Is like this tiny little area right next to you that's safe, maybe, and then they either can penetrate your defenses and you die, or you keep going, and then the Grim Reaper shows up when the timer hits, and then you're dead.
Yeah. Hang on.
Level complete.
Yeah.
But no, I think that's a smart thing that they have like time limits on the levels, because otherwise you could just go forever. Once you get a specific loadout, you'd never have enemies touching you if you know what to pick and know how to power them up the right way.
Yeah. That's cool. I've been wanting to play that game. I just haven't. So, I got so much other stuff to play. So,
I'd be curious to see how it runs on Steam Deck, picking a few specific things.
Yeah, I can imagine.
This point, I know how to break the game almost as far as frame rate goes. But like, okay, I'll pick this upgrade and this upgrade and this one. I know one that you will definitely kill the Steam Deck on is don't get the duplicator ring once you unlock it, because it doubles the particles and then doubles it again once you upgrade it. So it's just so many things flying around the screen that even like my decent PC is like, this is just a pixel art game, but there's just so much stuff it slows the frame rate down quite a bit.
Too much pixel. That's funny. Yeah,
many things flying around everywhere, huh?
Yeah, that would break the Steam Deck pretty quick.
Yeah, but you know, for the most part, you know, that's like you have to actively choose that and make sure that you're just right. Like, I want all the particles. If you find that it like, hey, it doesn't run well, then just don't pick it next time.
Yeah, it's fine. Don't have to
see it on the random drop, and you're like, no, go away.
Yeah,
I don't need to melt my Steam Deck today. Thank you.
No thanks, I'm okay.
But yeah, just that kind of game would be perfect for Steam Deck or even like mobile. I haven't tried the mobile version, but they put that out during the Game Awards. So it's kind of like, yeah, no, I don't need to have it on my phone. Thanks. That's probably a bad idea.
Yeah, no, I don't need that much temptation. No, I don't need that. Yeah. Thank you, though, but I appreciate you doing that. But yeah,
I don't need to melt my phone battery. Other than that, I've been playing, I installed Witcher 3 because, hey, another crazy update to an older game.
Yes, and a wonderful update.
This one is way more involved than the Portal RTX, which is like, we threw some ray tracing in here. This one's like, yes, we threw ray tracing, but they also did so many other just like tweaks to gameplay.
I could pet Roach. I could pet Roach.
That's the secret one that they didn't tell anyone until it actually came out. You can pet the horse now. Ooh,
finally!
I didn't even like, know that.
Yeah.
Like, hey, good job, Roach. Please stop getting up on the rooftops.
Yeah,
stop
it. Just quit.
I don't even know if you could do that anymore. But man, when that game first came out, that was one of the goofier bugs that people would screenshot all the time with just the weird places Roach would get to. They're like, how did you get on the building?
I remember that.
They should have left it.
Yeah, really.
I mean, Roach is still a very, very weird horse. Like, the AI for that thing, when you call it, it'll just, like, come in full gallop, but, like, it doesn't know where the trees are necessarily sometimes, so it will hit a tree, and, like, the path will get diverted, and it'll be, like, run away from you, and, like, you're just like, dude, I sat still, I'm right here. Just like, what are you doing?
He's just excited, man. That's all.
I'm sure that's something they could have fixed, because it's like, you know, plenty of games have done it, but they probably just at this point leave it for the goofy personality that makes Roach feel like ridiculous.
Right. Yeah, I love it. It runs so good on Steam Deck. Yeah. When they did the update and it came out, the DirectX 12 version wasn't working, but they've patched it since then, and now it'll run the DirectX 12 version. I don't think it's on ultra high. I think it's on high settings, but still get in the 40 frame rate. I mean, and it looks beautiful on there.
Some performance thing specifically with the DirectX 12 version where, like, even if you have the same settings and you don't have any of the ray tracing turned on, it runs slower than the DirectX 11 version does.
Yeah.
But you have to have DX12 for ray tracing because it doesn't. No ray tracing game works in DX11. But yeah, then they've done at least two hot fixes at this point on PC that have improved stability and fixed a couple of little bugs, and then they've got plans for
The newest version. Actual patches. The newest version of the update, I actually had to uninstall the game off Steam Deck and reinstall it because the update like broke the game and it kept saying there is missing pieces. This game will not run, and you go, and you'd refresh it and say, okay, well, download those. You know, finish downloading it. We cannot download this game, so it's like crap. So I just deleted it and then re-downloaded it, and now it works fine again. It's like, oh, crap, I hate that. I hate it when it does stuff like that. But.
Yeah, I mean, every once in a while, like, just a game will get weird and you have to re-download whatever platform you're on, so.
No big deal. You
just got lucky here.
It's like, son of a gun, I hate that, but. But yeah, I mean, it does. It looks really, really cool.
I've played it for about 6 hours or so. I've played through basically the opening whole section, the White Orchard part that's all like the training wheels open world part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where it's open, you got a few side quests and you got a few main quests, but then you finish it and then you go off into the real open world map, and I just like saved the game right as you first get there, and you're by the big tree with all the people hanging from it that's kind of was in all the trailers and stuff way back in the day. So I've gotten a fair taste of the game, of a game that I'm very familiar with, and it is gorgeous. So like they've done a lot of tweaks to where like the plants and stuff go further into the distance than they used to, kind of like level of detail, things like that. They've upgraded pretty much all the textures. They've done a bunch of other small, you know, tweaks here and there. They have new cameras, so you can choose to use the new cameras or the old camera. So I have it, and it's per three things, so exploration, combat, and on horseback. So I have horseback on the old camera, so it's like farther away and I can see better while I'm trying to ride fast galloping through trees. I'm not going to be like blocked by the horse, but then everything else I'm doing the close camera because it's, I don't know, it's just, it looks a little bit different because it's kind of a little off to the side, offset camera thing. And it's like the ray tracing in that game looks really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
On my machine, it's not running super, super well, and it seems like it's probably a CPU thing. That seems to be where the bottleneck is. A lot of times when you're in like settlements and stuff, it slows down. I haven't gotten to like Novigrad, the big city, yet, because it's apparently where most people are seeing the most kind of performance issues, just because there's so many NPCs walking around. Because hey, they also added more NPCs than used to be in the game to make it look busier.
Good, more people for me to run over.
Yeah, which means if
the first thing that I accidentally did was run over a kid in the first city.
Yeah, well, you know, it happens. They get in the way. So what are you gonna do?
They didn't get mad at me, so it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
But I mean, if you have all the ray tracing turned on, so PC, like the consoles don't have, only have, I think, the global illumination and I forget which other one. And they have improved reflections on console, but it's not actually ray traced, I don't think. But PC has all four kind of things, so reflections and all these other things. And man, the water looks so much better than it used to. Not that it looked terrible before, but with all the actual real reflections in it, it's just like, oh wow, this is nice.
Yeah.
And it's like not even just the water, like some, you know, pieces of like armor or, you know, shiny things that will have just like a little bit better materials and look to it. And then just the way the ray trace shadows and all that looks is really, really nice, especially when it's kind of like sunset or sunrise sometimes. Plus like the improved skyboxes they've added like new weather patterns too in the game that are neat that weren't there in the original game. And I mean, I'd have to go through all the stupid patch notes to remember what all little things they've tweaked about it.
Yeah, there was a lot.
Yeah, so it's like pretty in-depth. It's like a bunch of small things that they've had. Oh, yeah, they added a photo mode that wasn't in there before. Yeah. It's very bare bones.
Yeah, but that's okay.
It's still, you can take gorgeous photos.
Yeah,
of it.
I saw the one that you posted on Steam, and it just, you know, it's like, it was...
Yeah, that was me remembering, oh yeah, there's photo mode. Let me test this out before the podcast.
That's what I figured. I figured it was like, oh, let me just test it, you know. It's like,
yes, pretty much just a few camera controls. It doesn't have some of the stuff that you know, more modern games have in their photo modes, like, you know, hiding characters or, you know, putting stickers or anything like that. It doesn't have that.
Right.
It's pretty much just like move the camera kind of where you want it, and you can adjust kind of like field of view and, you know, stuff like that. But you can't do any of the other like kind of extras that some other photo modes have. But if you're just trying to take cool photos in a game that's pretty, you know, gorgeous already, it works.
Right. Yeah. That's what you want. Yeah. I don't remember. I must have played it a lot on PlayStation 4. Trying to remember where my save is at, you know, and I bought it on Xbox One a long time ago when I saw the disc on clearance sale for like $5 or something like that. So
yeah,
it's like, and I know I loaded it on the Series X at one point just to see how it ran on that. And it's like, and now I have it on Steam, so I can play it on the Steam Deck. I have the Switch copy over there, which I don't play now. You know, it's like I bought it on Switch just to go, wow, look at The Witcher on the Switch. That is
on Switch.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And then I just put it back on the shelf. I'm like, that's really cool. You know, I'm not going to play it like this, but it's cool. You know.
Yeah, I've been playing on PC, but I also tested it on the Series X.
Yeah, I haven't.
And I linked up the saves, so the saves you can go back and forth. That's another new thing they added is the cross progression. Mm-hmm. So you just basically have to link your account to the GOG account. Mm-hmm. So you have to just on PC go in there and then like link your Xbox or whatever thing. And then once you
play it
there,
I just had a QR code on the PS5 that I could scan in and just
It is. And once you've done that, it will automatically go. So I can play on like PC and it saves like one of your manual saves, one of like auto saves, and one of quick save.
Yep.
Each to the cloud just automatically, and then you boot up the game on my Xbox like, oh hey, I can just load the save and continue right from where I was at. It runs pretty well on the Series X. You have kind of like ray trace mode that's 30 and then not ray trace that's at 60. But I didn't do it too long there. I just kind of, it's like, okay, yep, ray tracing, it looks decent, but it's, I don't like the 30 frames a second.
Yeah, on the PlayStation 5 with ray tracing, and I went back and forth a couple times, it was not a steady 30. It was really jarring for me. I immediately switched it back to performance mode, and it's just been awesome in performance mode. And it doesn't really, I haven't noticed any difference other than maybe a little bit of lighting.
It's very, very different. If you have them side by side, it's very different than, say, like PC version with all the ray tracing on versus console with all of it. But even console turning ray tracing on, a lot of it, sometimes you won't be able to see a difference, like especially in just like full daylight a lot, but it's the way that it does the kind of global illumination shadows stuff, you'll pick up a lot of coloring from the environment and some other things that you do not get when that's turned off in performance mode. But it's like,
it still looks great
in performance mode, and it does have a lot of the other kind of upgrades, like, you know, level of detail things and better textures and all that kind of stuff. It's just mostly the ray tracing stuff that gets turned off or on on the console.
Yeah, the textures were really impressive. I was really, really happy with what they did there. I only checked the ray tracing in that opening scene under the tree, and I took screenshots and flipped back and forth between those to see anything, and I guess wasn't a good area for it, but I'll probably be sticking with performance regardless.
The good news is you can buy it on Steam right now for $8.
I don't know if I can find it at max settings.
Well, I have to look it up, but I ran it on PC first just to see what it looked like on there. And even on mine, and I've got an older graphics card, it looked really, really good with the ray tracing on.
I have all the settings pretty much cranked up just because I wanted it to look pretty and see how well I could run it. And it runs anywhere from 35 to 65 to 70 or so, just depending on, you know, what's going on with the area or, you know,
I got it
cutscenes and whatnot.
I got it setting on Steam Deck to run about 40. 40 is my magic. I don't mind 30 on Steam Deck. It's not too jarring, but if I could get 40, I prefer it a little more because 40 feels more like 60 on the Steam Deck, if that makes any sense. Yeah, when I have it running 60.
No, John, it makes no sense because 40 is like 40.
Yeah, I know, right? But, you know, you could feel a difference between 30 and 40 just like you can between 30 and 60, but it's like, it's not... Going to 40 is not that big of a difference as long as there's not real big drops, you know, from 40. I don't like the flow, but if I can keep it kind of steady and maybe a little drop here and there, I'm good. But the nice thing about Steam Deck is I can just slap that sucker down to 40 hertz and and put the cap at 40, and it will not go any higher than 40, you know, so. Yeah. What were you going to say, Dennis? I'm sorry. Oh, he's frozen. Yeah. Oh, no, he's not. I thought Dennis was going to say something. So he looked like he was frozen there for a minute.
Yeah,
so.
He froze for me for a second.
No, just his heart.
Just his heart's frozen? Wow, okay. Then look, now he looks like he's in pain. Look at that. Oh, there it goes. Now he's not in pain anymore.
It caught up.
It was hilarious when he said cold. You had this look on your face like, and you're just frozen there. Like he just shot you or something. It was funny. It was...
That's half the year, man. You know, was it? You woke up to -1 today. You know, yeah. That's how it is.
It's just cold. I'm surprised the internet's working at all, to be quite honest with you. I'm surprised everything just didn't go. You know what? It's freaking cold. I'm shutting it down for the night. Forget it. We're gone. We're out.
I had some coworkers on the East Coast that lost their internet today.
I'm sure. But anyway, Dennis, what were you going to say? I'm sorry. We were laughing at you. But go ahead. Was there something you were going to say?
Well, it just like when you had mentioned like the 40 frames thing, like what is the highest, like what's the refresh rate of the screen?
60.
Oh, it is 60
hertz. Right. Yeah. Okay, and there's games that I can get, you know, certain games will run 60 and run them perfectly. You know, some of the smaller games and stuff. Yeah. And okay. I've even had some weird games, the frame rate says it's running at like 120, and it's like, how is that possible? You know, I can only, this screen is only 60, you're giving me twice the frames, but I'm never going to see them, you know, so, but usually that's what, I like to have a balance of looking good and a good stable frame rate, and there's so much you can do on the Steam Deck. I can adjust power wattage, and I can adjust this and that to tweak things so it doesn't. I can still get maximum battery life, but I can also try to go. Usually 40 is what I try to hit on that. You know,
it's very much a PC gamer handheld.
It really is, and you can really get in. And it's amazing how deep you can get in with it. I mean, you could just boot it up and just play it as it is, and it's fine. You know, but if you really want to tweak that and get the most out of it, you could really go in and start. And ever since they set up profiles for games, so I can go in and tweak all the system settings, then save it under Witcher 3. So the next time I boot up, maybe, I don't know, Gotham Knights, it won't keep the Witcher 3 settings. It'll have it clear and I can save it. And then when I boot up Witcher 3, it'll go, oh, we need to adjust the power, we need to adjust this, we need to adjust that. And it'll just go, whoop, and it'll do it. So it's, it's hard for me to play the stupid Switch anymore, so I keep trying.
I hear that from so many people now, man. That's like unfortunate. But honestly, I mean that's what happens, though, right? I mean, it's coming up on 6 years, 7 years,
7 years. Seven years.
Had a good run.
For what it's done, it's done, you know, some incredible things. But yeah, I mean, now it just seems like, you know, obviously more hardware is needed. Where the Pro is, God knows where, you know. I don't think Nintendo knows. So, you know, the Steam Deck has kind of become, you know, Switch 2.
It's like my buddy yesterday or today texted me, goes, hey, I finally bought a Switch OLED. Oh, bless your heart. It's like...
You know what else is $350?
Yeah. He's like, you know, he bought Zelda when it came out on Switch. He bought the collector's edition and didn't own a Switch. And he just now... this week finally bought a Switch. You know, it's like, dude, you bought it at the end. There's something in the next year or two coming out. But yeah, whatever, you do you. I mean, you know, it's fine. It's no big deal. I do like the OLED version better than the standard version, just because it's got the metal body, the bigger screen, the color's nice and stuff like that. But at this point, it's like I pull it out and play it for 5 minutes and go, oh, I really wish this was on Steam Deck so I could just play it there. I really want to play it on Steam Deck.
At this point, I only play it docked.
Yeah, I can't tell you the last time I've even had it docked. I mean, I haven't even...
Mine is only docked.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's so flimsy. And I go back to Steam Deck, I'm like, oh, this is how a handheld should be built.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice.
I'm waving the Steam Deck around, I'm like, hey, it's good. I'm worried about, like, touching the Switch wrong. Oh, no, the Joy-Con just fell off. It broke again.
Just imagining Eric just waving the thing around just out in the front yard, just like it's like,
flapping it around.
Like look, a flag. Look at the Steam Deck! Look at it! Look!
Look at it.
And the neighbors are just going, what is wrong with this kid? What's wrong with this guy? It's like,
neighbors
are worried about the redcoats coming in. And
like, oh, neighbor's been drinking again.
Yeah, is this guy's last name Revere? What is going on? It's like,
what's he doing in the front yard with that device?
Oh. Hey, honey, he's out in the yard acting a fool again.
Something's wrong with our neighbor.
Yeah. Don't get the popcorn.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. So, your last game, Nathaniel, I saw that you bought it. You bought Lynn's Island, and it looked really cool, and I bought it too, and it has no controller support on the Steam Deck, so I'm running around going, what button am I hitting to do this? How am I doing that?
Yeah, that's something that maybe they're like, because it's still an early access game,
right.
And like version is 0.5 or something when you boot it up, but they just had a big kind of overhaul update to it that added a bunch of things, and I was seeing it somewhere else, and I was like, oh, I'll buy that. It's on sale or whatever.
Yeah, it was like $15 or something like that. It looks really cool. It looks like a survival game that I would like. So
it defaults to kind of like point-and-click kind of mouse controls, but you can also do WASD controls, which is what I just switched it to immediately because I'm like, I don't want to do the just-click thing. And it works fine that way, but yeah, doing it on Steam Deck, be like, no, I don't know how you would do that.
Yeah, I booted it up the other day, and I'm like, all right, I want to move over here and chop this tree down. Well, if I pull the right trigger, he'll chop. Well, how do I get him to move? And so I'm using my mouse, thinks, nope, I'm using this thing. So I'll point in the direction, and he'll just chop in that direction until he hits the tree, and then chop it down. I'm like,
yeah, because it's all based on like the default controls is where the mouse is pointing. It's kind of like where the character will be pointing there. Thing, and it's even somewhat that way with your, you know, other kind of more traditional controls. Kind of, it's more your mouse does have quite a bit of impact for where you're doing things.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you don't know what Lynn's Island is, it's kind of like a survival game that's chill.
Yeah,
is a way to put it. So you got like your Valheims or something that's like, yeah, you're a Viking and you're all these like different forests and things, whatever, or you know, all these other different kinds. This one's like, hey, you start on this island. It's all nice and sunny. It's kind of like almost like a vacation destination almost. There's this town here. You got to build it up and move in some people so they can open their shops. You know, build your own house and stuff. So you got to run around, chop trees, mine some rocks. There is combat in the game. It's all exclusively within kind of like caves for the most part, at least on the first island. And then as you eventually get the blueprints to build like raft and stuff, you could sail to other islands to get more materials and whatnot. So it's like any other survival game. You start without all your kind of mediocre tools, and then you like make a few upgrades so that you can make better tools to get other materials to build cooler things. And you can also has like quite a bit of building stuff. So you start with building wood, but then you get like stone and a couple others. There's like four different tiers of things you can build with. And so part of the game is that survival game stuff. Part of it is just like, hey, build some cool stuff if you wanna. You don't have to. You can just build like a cool, crappy little box for someone like an NPC to live in. And then, hey, they've moved in and they'll go to their shop that's like on the other side of town.
Yeah.
Just like fishing in the game. That's a little bit weird when I first tried it out, and I was like, oh wait, this makes sense.
Oh, okay. See, I saw a lot of people on the boards going, fishing, I don't understand the fishing, I don't get it. So
spend like a minute, you'll figure it out. It's not hard. They don't explain it. Like, there is a few tutorial pop-ups, but because it's early access, I'm sure they'll be adding more as they go.
Right.
After, like, fishing, I think they added in an update right before this update, but then they also added some stuff in this update to do with fishing, too, maybe? I don't know. I'd have to read through the kind of update notes again.
Yeah.
But yeah, the way fishing works is you you have a fishing pole. You click once to cast it out into the water. And they have like little circle, looks like a kind of swarm of fish or whatever that's like in circles. If you cast in there, you're going to get a little bit more of the rarer fish there, a lot easier than if you're just doing it in the ocean, wherever, but you can fish wherever you want. And then you just wait for your little bobber to go down. And at the tip of your fishing pole, there's kind of like an expanding kind of like almost like quick time event circle thingies. So if it's white, you click. If there's a red one, don't click. That's how fishing works.
Each
type of fish has kind of like a different pattern. So it might be like white, red, white, and then you get one in, and then like a tougher fish might be like white, red, red, white, white, you know, something or other. But they always come, it's the same interval. It's not like different timing. So it's always just like every kind of like second or so, a circle thingy will pop up. You just have to pay attention to like, is the color white or red? And then you can click on it. It doesn't punish you if you click like right as it shows up, or if you like half a second later, you're like, it doesn't last super long, but the timing's pretty easy. So as long as you're patient, pay attention to look at the color before you click, it's not too bad.
Cool.
Also, fishing is a good way to get money early on to buy a backpack, because they have a backpack system. So you start out, you can only carry 100 of each kind of resource, like wood, logs, or stone. And then you get a backpack, suddenly that's 200. And then you get the next backpack, and I think it's 300.
Gotcha.
And those cost gold, and the only ways to get gold are to sell things, which when you first start out, there's only like a couple people you can sell stuff to, and it's only certain items, so you have to unlock the different villagers, basically. And then you have like kind of like a town upgrade thing, so like you gather certain materials, and then go to the little bulletin board, and then boom, you've upgraded your town. There's now a new plot, and new people showed up. I'm not sure how many times you can do that, because I've only done it once, but
right.
Yeah. It's a fun, mostly chill little game.
It looked really, really cool when I saw you added it to the wish list, your wish list the other day, and I was like, "What is this game?" Let me look. And I looked at it and I went, "Ah, man, that looks like a really cool, chill Survivor-like game. I might like that, and that might be cool on the Steam Deck." And then I bought it, and I'm like, "I don't know what is going on around here."
Yeah,
so I haven't sat down and tried it on the PC yet, you know. So it's like. But they say they're going to add controller support, so at some point.
Yeah, it's sharp. It's really well polished for what it is. I think it's only like a couple people who are making it.
Seems
like it's one of those kind of games. But for a two-person game, it's like really, really well done. Mm-hmm. They put in a lot of work before they even put it into early access. Like even because some other early access games, you can tell like, oh, okay, they haven't done like a full pass on like the design of the menus or this or that. But like the user interface looks nice. It's all, you know, like a full, looks like a full game. It's just not feature complete. So they've probably got plans for other stuff they want to add over time.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
So yeah, it's a fun game. I put a few hours into it. So I've gotten some decent upgrades. I've beat one dungeon. And I've found the door to the other one, but I haven't unlocked the door, because to unlock them, you kind of have like a thing that you find the dungeon door and you click it. And it's like, oh, dang, it's activated. Now you have three different places marked on your map that you have to go and kind of like activate a totem thingy, and then the door unlocks.
Yeah.
And then you go in and you can explore it, and there's a bunch of enemies and things to mine. And then eventually you find your way to kind of like a boss fight, and then you've beat the dungeon. Yay, good for you.
Yeah. Cool.
There's a little thing close to the initial village that has kind of like a circle with these totems or something around it.
Mm.
I think if I remember, there's five, and after I beat the first dungeon, one of them lit up. So I'm like, okay, I'm assuming there's five of them to find somewhere out there on the map.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. I need to check and see. There's probably somebody in the community that's made a controller layout thing that I can download
it could be. I think on the like store page it says like it technically works on Steam Deck, but
it does. Yeah, it's playable. You just gotta figure out,
it's just weird to control.
Yeah, you gotta figure out the controls. But it does run, and it runs perfectly. But it's like, it just at the beginning it was just like, how do I enter the text to name my thing? It's not letting my keyboard pop up. So it's like I just named it because that's all I
got. But you know, like other survival games, it does have a hunger bar, but it's like super chill about it. Like it'll go all the way down, and then like you'll start losing health, but it's like a tiny bit at a time, so you're just like, oh yeah, I'll eat a few berries, I'm good. Like it's not like some of the more hardcore survival ones where like you really, really have to pay attention to that. It's like, nah, whatever, I'm just running around on this cool little island that's, you know, pretty nice until it gets dark, and then it's like, oh, I can't see, but no, I at least on the main island, there's no like creatures that come at it,
right,
like some other games would have. There are some places you can find creatures, but it has nothing to do with the day-night cycle.
Yeah, that's cool.
So yeah, it's fun. I'm planning to keep playing it. It's kind of more like, hey, I want to relax and do some resource gathering. It's one of those games.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I like those too. So, Okay, Robert, why don't you go ahead and talk about what you've been playing, since you actually have, like, some games you played other than Final Fantasy Online.
Well, really only, like, one.
Well.
Kind of two. I played The Witcher 3, but we talked about that quite a bit. I'm only about 15, 20 minutes in. I just got to the first town and had to shut it off. I already talked about kind of performance with it, but I'm really excited to dig into it. I didn't play much of it back at release. I think I got to like the second city and that was it. So like where Nathaniel is now.
Yeah, like, I'm looking forward to that. Way less than what I've played of Witcher 3 over the years, good lord.
Yeah, you've played a lot. You've played...
I've completed that game and then I've started and played like 20 or 30 hours at a time a couple times here and there. It's just like, yeah, I've put a lot of time into Witcher 3.
I don't have that kind of time. But I have been putting quite a bit of time over the last few weeks into Final Fantasy XII, the Zodiac Age, the remastered version for PS4. And this is a game that I got it back on the PS2 when it launched, but I absolutely couldn't stand the battle system or the way that you level up. And it was really only like my second like single player Final Fantasy game. So like Final Fantasy X was like where my official entryway into the series, and going from that to the way that this plays with its kind of like almost Final Fantasy 11 online battle system, but in single player mode, and having to kind of pause everybody and choose and cue their moves, and it was a hassle. So needless to say, I did not stick with it back in the day. But with the adjustments that the remastered version made, I've been having some fun with it. I still don't love the battle system, but what they have done to the license board, the way that you level up, has really made it more accessible, at least to me. At some point, you get access to give every character like a second class. So they basically have a job and a sub-job system, which you couldn't do in the original. And it really filled the gaps for my lack of understanding of the battle system, to the point to where now I'm probably about, I don't know, maybe 60 hours in total. And I've unlocked almost every square on each of their two jobs. So the game just kind of plays itself at this point as I'm going through. And they added a times two speed and a times four speed. So like if I'm just grinding stuff to make some money, I just slap on that times four speed. They just run around killing everything. I have to chain all my enemies together, leave the zone, come back. But that's kind of how I've been doing it. The story is still kind of convoluted, in my opinion. Yeah. It's very like, it's almost like Star Wars meets Games of Thrones. There's just so many factions and countries that they're just throwing at you. That unless you really are paying attention and drawing a map of who's connected to who, that I'm just kind of letting it happen. It's just unfolding in front of me, and I'm just gonna get swooped along for the ride. But I did not realize how long this game was. It's like a 90-something hour main story Final Fantasy game, and I was not ready for that. But I've committed.
Here you are.
We're gonna get there. Yeah. It's there's so much good in there. I just wish the battle system gave me something a little bit more. It's just, I don't know. It's like half action, half turn based, but. It's just on autoplay at this point. I can just drift off and look at my phone while I'm killing, you know, 100 enemies in a row. I look up, oh, okay, we're good. Oh, I'm poisoned now. Oh, never mind. They fixed me. So it was a really weird, like, difficulty curve. Because in the beginning, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this still. But then you finally unlock enough skills for them to actually be able to be used. Because you have to spend money on getting the skills, like unlocking them as you level up. And then you buy the skills after you've unlocked them. But then you have to buy, they're called gambits, and that allows you to use different moves. So you start out and each person can use like three moves, and you can set the conditions for when they use these moves. And you have to keep buying more and more and more. And it in the beginning, until I found a place that I could like efficiently grind out materials to sell, it was just like pulling teeth of me killing like one or two things, running away to a crystal, healing, going back. It was painful. But then the second you buy like enough of these gambits to fill out and let it do its thing, then you're just not doing anything anymore and just going from area to area and leveling up as you go. But it, I'm having a good time with it despite all of that. The story is pretty good. It's really just kind of a placeholder for me until the next, you know, Final Fantasy 16 comes out. That's the next big one that I'm really looking forward to.
That's just sometime next year, right? They haven't set an exact date, did they, or did they? I couldn't remember.
I think they said June.
Was it June?
Okay. I think it's June.
I don't know. I remember watching the trailer and just going...
They had it at the Game Awards.
Yeah, I just remember watching it going, I don't know what's going on here. It's
that trailer also gave me a lot of Games of Thrones vibes.
Yeah.
With all the different like house classes and all that stuff. But that one's going to be like a story told through time. Like, I think your character goes through three different like generations of his life. It's like his... As a kid, as a young adult, and then as a slightly older adult.
So Final Fantasy is finally doing what Phantasy Star 3 did back on the Genesis. Okay, cool. That was what it was in Final Fantasy 3, or Phantasy Star 3 on the Genesis. You played through three generations of a family. So.
Yeah. Well, you're sticking with the same guy in this one.
Right.
It's just at these like very specific points.
Well, then they've changed it just enough, though. I can't go. That's like Final Fantasy or Phantasy Star.
They can't get sued. That's all they
do. Yeah, because you know a 30-40-year-old game. You know they're going to come. Sega's going to come and go, hey, remember this game on the Genesis? I mean, it is exactly like Final Fantasy VI.
No, it's okay. We changed. I wouldn't hold it every time.
No, that's actually a 3 in his name, not an E. So we're good.
Cyborg, it's a spoiler thing, but don't worry about it.
Gotcha. I understand.
I think I might even, if I can get through 12 semi soon, I might even see if I can stream 13, because that's another one that I started and then didn't stick with at that point in my life. So I've been kind of going through and playing through some of these older ones that I never really gave a fair chance. And Michelle's started Final Fantasy X, so we got like the whole PS2 generation, PS3 generation happening right now. And it's been a fun journey so far.
And those are very up and down generations for Final Fantasy. They were either really, really good, or they just really weren't. I mean,
yeah.
They just...
Yeah. All I remember about 13 is that the story, like, they didn't give you much of the story in the actual cutscenes. You had to dig for it and all the logs, and I wasn't about that life, but I'll give it another shot.
Yeah. I think that's where I kind of stopped and went, you know what, I'm good on Final Fantasy for a while.
What's the point of cutscenes if not for story?
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
Exactly. Why are you making me do homework to figure out what's going on?
Exactly.
I don't think I'm going to do the sequels unless somebody out there tells me that they're absolutely worth my time, but I can't imagine them being.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. That's all I've done.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
About 60 hours of that.
I was going to say, you had Hotline Hawaii there. I didn't know if you were going to.
I didn't put that there. I don't know what that is.
Oh, that's okay.
That's one of the fake games. Yeah, I had like a
funny
weird one
on the
too.
List. I just left it there in case somebody wanted to comment.
I wanted to see if he was going to fall into the trap of actually going, Hotline Hawaii? I don't know.
No, I saw that on the list before we started.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, I was whoever put it there, I was trying to trip you into it, but you know, it didn't work. So all right. Well, so much for that. Okay. I tried. Dennis, go ahead. What have you been playing, man? besides some Chained Echoes.
Yeah, so a couple of weeks ago, well, I mean, not that long ago, maybe like 2 weeks ago, a little game came to Game Pass, a little game called Soccer Story.
Mm-hmm.
I thought for a second that it was the new Golf Story, but it's not. That's actually Sports Story, so I got confused for a second. Soccer Story is completely its own thing made by a whole different team of people. But it is sort of in the same vein as Golf Story and now Sports Story, in that, you know, it's an RPG sort of centered around a sport, right? And in this case, unsurprisingly, soccer, mm-hmm. right? And it's got a pretty simple premise, right? The like soccer got banned like all over the world, like
it's like Footloose.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
You know, dancing got banned, so sorry.
Changed everything, which was the case here. One incident changed everything. Basically, I honestly can't even remember. It was such a stupid concept. I mean, the entire game is definitely feels very satirical.
Yeah. Satirical. Satirical.
Thank you. And but they use it to their advantage in so many ways, because you can tell that even they were just like, look, we're just trying to make a good game. This story is going to be as goofy as we can possibly make. Yeah. But the humor is really good. The humor is great, and it's super entertaining. I did have to put it down after a point, just because I will say after about 8, 9, maybe 10 hours of that game, it did start to feel like it was overstaying its welcome.
Gotcha.
And which was unfortunate, because I was having a great time with it, but it wasn't like Golf Story, or even this game reminded me very much a lot of like The Tourist as well. Hmm. Like if those two games like combined and had a kid, it would be Soccer Story. Maybe sprinkle with a little bit of like Echo Generation in there too. But yeah, it was overstaying its welcome a little bit, and you know, it started to feel slightly repetitive, which was unfortunate. But when I was enjoying it, man, it was just an absolute joy. And it was really charming, and I loved the graphics of it. I think the art style is incredible. You have this great sort of pixel art on top of more like a voxel art style. Mm. And it looks great, man. It looks really, really great. And yeah, runs great, looks great on both Xbox Series X and S. Played that. It is on Xbox Game Pass as well for both PC and console. Mm. So, and cloud as well if you want to play it on the cloud. And yeah, I mean, it was an awesome time. So if you enjoy games like, you know, Golf Story, like The Tourist, like Echo Generation, absolutely try to play Soccer Story. You might enjoy it more than I did. Again, it's a great game. I don't think it's bad by any means, but I just felt like it got to a point where, you know, I didn't want to continue something that I wasn't having fun with anymore, because I didn't want the parts that I did enjoy to be completely erased, and then that's all I have in my head. And that's the only taste that I have in my mouth, right? Whenever I think of Soccer Story, it's like, you know, but it's like, but I did have a great time with it. But yeah, it was overstaying its welcome a little bit. And I was like, look, I'm ready to move on at this point.
Yeah. You
know? But overall, great game. And it's not a long game either. Honestly, I probably should have beat it within however many hours I put into it, 8, 9, 10 hours. I don't think it's long, but I think it's actually around that ballpark. But yeah, it was just overstaying its welcome, so I had to move on. But yeah, you know, again, for what it's worth, super enjoyable, and yeah, definitely worth checking out if you want a sort of sport centric RPG with some great humor. And honestly, the soccer, like, it's talked about a lot, but the actual amount of games of soccer that you actually play, there's honestly not much. A lot of it is like just mini games that are sort of seamlessly put into this quote unquote open world that you're in, and you're doing tasks for people, you know, quests, and it's really funny. Yeah. It's a really just hilarious game, and definitely well worth checking out if you're interested in any of those things.
Cool.
While we're talking about it, apparently Sports Story came out today.
I saw a tweet.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
That's kind of crazy. Yeah.
Surprise! Here it is. I was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it got shadow dropped. Yeah, because we knew it was coming, and it had been on my radar for a bit. But yeah, it just sort of got shadow dropped today, which was, you know, both exciting but just surprising. But
like, wow, where'd you come from?
Well, especially a game like that, because Golf Story, I think, became such a hit, right?
Yeah.
Sports Story, mm-hmm. You know, when it was announced, people were like, "Oh my God, more finally!" And yeah, then it just dropped just today out of nowhere. I feel like that game could have easily been marketed to the masses, and it has been before, but no reason why there shouldn't have been a couple more, you know, some promotional material leading up to today. Right. You know?
I mean, maybe it was just as one of those games that's been out. People knew it was coming. It was delayed, and they're just like, hey, we just need to get it out.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah, we don't want to keep giving out dates that we're not gonna, you know, live up to. But once it's done, it's done. They're just like, all right, there it is. super exciting. But yeah, no, Soccer Story, anyways, well worth checking out, I think. So yeah, especially if you just want something simple, because it's an easy pick up and play game. It's you don't have to, you know, we're not talking about FIFA. You don't have to do some crazy.
Right, sticks
to do just a simple pass. You know, everything is very basic. You have A to pass, B to shoot. That's it. So, yeah,
all right.
To it.
All right.
That's I can deal with that. Yeah. That's.
And like RB to run. So there you go. There you go. Three okay. buttons. There you go. Yeah. But it's really good. I just had to admit to myself that, you know, I just wasn't really enjoying it as much as I was hoping anymore, and I just didn't want to continue on something that I felt like I was being forced to, you know, either enjoy or play, really. You know, especially with so much content and such a massive backlog, like there's always something else to play.
You know? Oh yeah, tell me about it. So, I keep buying. Pass, I just don't keep playing.
Like Game Pass has fed us very, very well this year. It's been a great year for Game Pass.
It really has.
I mean, you know, I wasn't too upset by it, but overall great game. And, you know, for those that do stick with it, you know, I hope you enjoy it, because it is a really good game. And if you beat it, kudos to you. And, I hope it was great all the way through, but in addition to that, one of the bigger ones for sure that come out in the last couple of weeks was, the new Dark Pictures game, The Devil in Me. And my girlfriend and I played that and we beat it. I love these games. These Dark Picture anthology games are great. Now, I can't remember if this was, because now they're calling them seasons, quote unquote. I can't remember if this was the final one of this season, like season one, or if this was the beginning of season two. I don't know why.
We bought like three of them, but haven't gotten to them yet. And I keep meaning to. We're gonna go through them together. We might in fact stream them. I don't know. That could be fun. Dude.
Either way, like whatever you do, I think it's a great game to play. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're playing by yourself or with someone else, but if you're with someone else, I think, you know, it, because there's so much like movies, it does feel like a movie night, which, you know, when you play co-op mode, the mode is called movie night. But it's so cool just being able to pick your own characters, because that's what you do in co-op. You have a set of characters that every game has, right? And then you choose a few, and then whoever else is playing chooses a few. And you can have up to, I think, or even as many characters as there are available. So really, you can
have... It splits the characters from the story between the two of you, and you choose like that,
yes and no. Like, everyone's kind of going through the same story, but everyone, you know, like, let's just say when they split apart, they have different perspectives, right? So, so let's just say now you're looking through, I'm just going to pull a random name. Let's just say you're playing a character named Chelsea, right? So now you have to choose, whoever chose Chelsea has to play as Chelsea, right? And let's just say there's a total of, like, 7-8 characters. So you can theoretically have 8 people playing the game at once, and you just need one controller, and then the moment it becomes that turn, you know, that player's turn, it'll tell you on the screen, like, hey, we're switching over to this character, be sure to pass over the controller to, you know, to whoever's playing as this character.
Now, is that one of those games that have the Twitch integration where, you know, you're like your chat can vote?
I believe it does, yeah.
Fascinates me,
It's a lot of fun, though. It's awesome when you have like a community like that just kind of coming together. A game like that, it's why I love those games, and I think it's not just the Dark Pictures, but that genre, that choose your own genre in general, that I think is just so incredible. Just that flexibility of a story, having that freedom of choice while still remaining somewhat cohesive, is why I love stuff, you know, like this, like the Telltale games, like Life is Strange, so on and so forth. You know, they just all are just so good, and this is no different. The Devil and Me in particular was really good. However, I will say, maybe I have to look back at the trailers, because maybe it wasn't, but it felt like there was a little bit of false marketing in there, because judging by the name alone, as well as some of the promotional material that I saw, it seemed like The Devil in Me, it seemed like someone would get possessed, right? I thought this was a game that was, you know, the story was centered around some sort of paranormal activity or possession. That was not the case. Instead, when we played the game, I remember just being like an hour in, maybe 2 hours in, and just being like, this is just Saw. Yeah, which isn't a bad thing. I mean, I love the Saw films. I really do. Well, the first
Jigsaw and me.
I was like, you can't. Not all the way through.
But yeah, yeah. Jigsaw and me. I can't.
Now I want that to be an actual movie.
Yeah,
could be Jigsaw. Dumb, aren't but they probably another fun. One. I'm sure they are, but now it's called Ned.
Just say you gotta make it a Christmas movie too, man.
Yeah, if your horror movie franchise goes long enough, it must always go to outer space and have a Christmas one.
Yep.
That's right.
That's the rule. That's yep. my understanding yep. of the rule.
And if you're not set there already, you have to go to Manhattan.
Oh yeah, there is that too.
That's true. Well, you know, Friday the 13th literally did every single one of those things. Every single one of those things. Jason X was in space, and then I'm pretty sure there's a Christmas Friday the 13th, and of course, Jason in Manhattan. I think that was Friday the 13th the 3rd.
The worst one is that one's not good. There's some not good ones, but I think that the Manhattan one is probably the worst.
Yeah, hands down.
Jason X is a lot of fun though. Because they lean into the stupidity in fun ways.
Yeah.
The last one I watched was Freddy vs. Jason. I was at least entertained.
I was entertaining. That one was entertaining. Yeah, I like watching that movie because of the soundtrack in that film gets me hyped, dude. Like I love the soundtrack in that movie.
Yeah, I can see that.
But hey, you don't see licensed soundtracks anymore, unfortunately. But, but anyways, so but The Devil in Me was a great entry into the Dark Pictures. Franchise so far, and I, honestly, now that I think about it, I think that was the end of season one. And of course, at the end of every game, they show you a clip of the next one. I'm not going to spoil it, even though I'm sure you can just look it up, and I'm sure there's a trailer already. Because I mean, if there's a trailer in the game, why would there one be already up on YouTube? But I'm excited. It's definitely different. It's not as grounded, literally. Let me just say that it's not as grounded. So
it's called The Devil in Space.
That's what I was gonna say. Devil in Space.
How many Dark Pictures games have come out now? Which number is this one?
So this would technically
or chapters or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, so this would technically be four. So there was the first one was Man of Medan, the second one was Little Hope, the third one was House of Ashes, which I think is the worst one. And then this newest one that just came out a few weeks ago is The Devil in Me. Yeah, so
four. Little Hope was the one I was not remembering the title of.
Yeah, and they did show titles for all the upcoming ones. I think there's like four or five, maybe even six extra titles. So they're planning this like way.
They're it's like the Marvel slate
in any way.
Vaguely. So the stories of each game themselves are standalone. However, you do have his name is the curator, the guy that sort of hosts every game. And he's in this massive office / library, and he always pulls out a book from the wall. And in the book, of course, the title of the book is the same title of the game that you're playing. And you can just see just a string of books go on like forever. I thought House of Ashes was gonna be the last one because I thought they were just doing like a trilogy, but then I remember playing that game and being like, there's like 8 or 9 books like on this shelf, like what's going on, because they all looked similar, you know, like they didn't have that sort of generic library sort of look to it. These ones in particular that were specific for each Dark Pictures games definitely had a certain design to them, and I was like, but these go on for quite some time. I wonder if this really is the last one. Of course it wasn't, and of course now we know there's a whole other, you know, season 2 quote unquote right. coming out.
That setup, they could do them as long as people keep buying them. You know, Tales from the Crypt or any other kind of anthology kind of thing. Just doing it in video games.
I didn't think they were that popular.
They've definitely grown. Because if I'm not mistaken, The Quarry in particular, which was also by Supermassive Games, they, you know, so they technically had two games come out this year. The Quarry came out during the summer time, I want to say, give or take, and then you just had The Devil in Me a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, that's two games. But you can definitely see a massive budget difference going from The Quarry to The Devil in Me.
Played any of them since, what was it, Until Dawn was by them?
Okay, yeah, that's right. That was by them. Yeah, that was a great game, though. Until Dawn was great.
I loved
Until Dawn. But
they had some Microsoft money for the Quarry, didn't they? I think Microsoft gave them some money for that one or something, if I remember right.
It's possible. Well, I know that one was published by 2K.
Yeah, so, that's right. Okay, that's what it was. It was 2K. So, yeah.
Yeah. So they got that 2K money. They got all that stuff from Take-Two on top of that. You know, so we're talking the that GTA Rockstar money. Is yep. All that sports money. Yeah. So that's why the Quarry just looked as incredible as it was. But yeah, and then that was a $60 game. Usually the Dark Pictures games, they're, I don't think they've ever been more than $40. So,
yeah,
you know,
say 30.
Yeah. Sure. Though, and they usually, you know, they're a solid 5-6 hour game, each one, you know, and, I mean, you can beat them quicker technically, but I'm someone who likes to, you know, I like to try to get as many collectibles as possible. So I like to, you know, kind of look around and even those collectibles can change the outcome of a, certain situation. So they definitely reward exploration. And yeah, but it's the Devil in Me was great. Not as scary as I would have liked it to be. Still scarier than House of Ashes. But yeah, I still think Man of Medan and Little Hope were the scariest ones. But there were definitely some moments in The Devil in Me that like definitely like startled were startling for sure. But yeah, that's one of the games I've been playing. In addition to that, because I've been in such an RPG mood lately, I wanted to go back and finally get, because I mean I dabbled in it before, so I don't really want to call it revisiting, but I will, because I this time I, you know, I was like I wanted to sit down and like commit, and I have been now, and I've been having a great time with it. I'm now finally properly going through Dragon Quest XI S on Xbox and PC. So
I finally picked that up on Steam. It was on sale, so I finally picked it up on Steam Deck. So, because I've been playing it on Switch, and I mean, the graphics, the cutscenes look fine, but then the rest of the game looks real blurry, and it was very distracting to go from really pristine looking cutscenes to the character looks very fuzzy in a world that's not fuzzy, and it was just like, So then I bought it on Steam Deck and went, oh, wow, this looks like Xbox, okay.
This is what it's supposed to look like.
Yeah, this is what it's supposed to look like. Okay.
Yeah, no, because I have a physical version of Dragon Quest XI on the Switch also. And but yeah, no, it was the same deal with me, right? Where it's just like I completely agree. It was a little too blurry. The game wasn't ugly by any means.
No, but it was jarringly blurry in places. Yeah. You know, it was you know, and you could tell that those cutscenes were like pre-rendered recording. It wasn't like like in-game engine on the Switch. It was these were videos put in to make it look fantastic, and then you get in the game, you're like, ugh, it's muddy and ugly. So, but anyway, so sorry.
False hope.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I wanted to actually sit down this time and give it a proper playthrough. And it's an Xbox Play Anywhere title, so you know, if you own it digitally on Xbox, you get the PC version and vice versa. So, which is really, really cool. And it was on Game Pass. I think it just left Game Pass about a week ago.
Yeah.
After it was there for a while, too.
It was there for almost at least a year, if not two. Yeah, you're right. At least it was there at least a year.
Yeah. So, but I did buy it a while back. I found a pretty good deal on it. So, but yeah, I wanted to sit down and finally play through it. I was like, you know what, man, I'm feeling an RPG. Let me go visit. But I wanted something like bigger budget because I play a lot of indie RPGs and stuff like that. And they're great. I loved all the retro stuff. I loved like stuff from like Kemco, you know, things like that. And then, of course, Chained Echoes just came out. So, you know, I love stuff like that. But, you know, sometimes I do want, you know, I want my millions of dollars on that screen.
Right. I get that. Yeah. You want shiny, pretty looking. Yeah. I mean. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I need that yin and yang. You know? Yeah. So, so it was about that time. So, I wanted to, you know, properly give Dragon Quest XI S the time it deserved, because I've heard nothing but great things about it, and the little bit that I have played before, the you know, time and time again, I know I did enjoy all of it. I just always picked it up at wrong times, and just you know, wasn't able to commit fully, and now I'm able to commit fully, you know, now that I'm sort of streamlining what I'm playing, And yeah, so now I'm about 20 hours in, maybe a little bit more. And yeah, I've been having a great time with it. The world is really, it's not as, I will say it's not as detailed as I would have liked it to be. But this game initially came out in 2017. Right. So, but it's even so, like, you can kind of see where Square Enix sort of made some budget cuts, which is weird. I've never understood why they treat Dragon Quest like this, just because Dragon Quest being around as long as it has been and the amounts of games that it has and its history within the West is, they still treat it like it's, you know, this small,
yeah,
little, it's only going to sell 100,000 at
it's
most.
Not Final Fantasy, you know? So we really,
right, you know, exactly. Yeah,
it's typical Square Enix stuff.
So. Yeah, their decisions make no sense to me. Yeah, but and then on top, I mean, let me put it this way: Dragon Quest has their own. I can't remember if it's a TV show or a film, but it's a Netflix, you know, thing, and it's you know, it's like, you know, you wouldn't have gotten that if you weren't a big established IP.
And, you know, and Dragon Quest is, a lot of people don't realize how big that game really is. I mean, it is is really big. It has a rabid fan base.
It's crazy. And all the spinoffs have been great. I remember when Dragon Quest Monsters or Joker, they might be two of the same, I can't remember. But those on DS in particular, when those came over West, those were some of the highest selling games on DS. So, like, you know, what are you worried about, man? Like, it's, you know, Dragon Quest is established. You have a Kira Toriyama, like, attached to this. What?
Isn't Dragon Quest the one that's referenced in the Yakuza Like a Dragon?
Yep.
That what he's playing all the time? Yeah. You're not going to get referenced in another big franchise like that if you're not, big IP, right?
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it's like, what? Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why, you know, Square Enix does half the stuff that they do, but
because they have some weird, like, crystal ball that is, like, covered in Cheeto dust, and then they're using that to divine what they should do and what they should expect.
Yeah.
Tomb Raider will sell 12 billion copies in 3 hours and make us lots of money. Oh, it didn't do that? Well, crap. It was not a
sell
success.
Sell it! Sell it! Get rid of it!
Get rid of it.
It's like, every stupid game that comes out that has poor sales, you know, that they say, it's like, what are you talking about? Like,
yeah.
What expectations did you have? Because they were strangely out of left field. Any normal person, like, and what are instead, you? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
God. And then instead, you know, they it just kills me that they sold off those properties just to invest them into NFTs, and it's just like, dude, like.
And then they're not doing that now because NFTs, rightfully, going away.
Like, you sold, what did they sell? They sold Tomb Raider, Deus Ex,
pretty much all of the
Western. Everything. Yeah, all the Western.
It was the entire Western studio.
Yeah. Jesus, man. Like, you sold all of that, and now who's it? Embracer Group? Now they're going to make all the money because, again, Tomb Raider, massive IP. Been around since the 90s. You know, like, the entire world knows Lara Croft. Deus Ex, you know, not to the scale of Tomb Raider, but within gaming, still fairly
and still
large.
Still popular, yeah, very popular, and it sold well.
Exactly.
Apparently not well enough though.
Well,
according to...
and that was Tomb Raider too. That was a big thing. Like, it sold so much. Like, it's not enough. It's not enough. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Well, now it's Amazon. So good job.
Oh Jesus.
Yeah, Amazon is going to publish the new Tomb Raider game. Apparently.
Yeah, that's what.
At least there's something coming.
It's crazy. I'm like, Square Enix, like, really basically expects Pokemon numbers across the board for everything. It's a little ridiculous. You're not Pokemon. I'm sorry. Like, you're not Star Wars. You know, you're not. You know, a Marvel movie number 88. You know, it's you're not. I'm sorry. So, but where were we?
Somewhere in Dragon Quest. Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, no, great game. Long story short, I'm going through it, and I've been having a great time with it. I do wish the world was a little more detailed, but all the events that have been happening though it's been fairly entertaining, like, throughout. And the combat is what you would expect, you know, from Dragon Quest. It's basic turn-based combat. You can technically move around, but I don't do that nonsense. I just find it so pointless.
That's a game I played, I think, about 50 hours before I gave up on it, and it's just kind of one of those games that was good, and it just overstayed its welcome with me.
Yeah.
In particular, that was just like, I've had enough, so I stopped playing it.
Yeah, I feel that.
But it wasn't because it was a bad game, it was just like, okay, I've had enough of this. Yeah. And it's, it, like many JRPGs, is a very long game.
But it's really good so far. All the characters are really solid, and all the fights and the graphics are pretty. Other than like I said, the environments aren't the most detailed, but it looks pretty. I think this Dragon Quest is actually made in Unreal Engine, if I'm not mistaken. So
I think so. Yeah.
So it's very, very polished looking. Really. Really enjoyable. Another great Dragon Quest game. Dragon Quest VIII is still my favorite Dragon Quest. I played that on PS2, and I played the remake on 3DS, and it was just as great as I remembered it. And but Dragon Quest XI is good in its own right. I'm really getting tired, and this is not just a Dragon Quest problem, but just a video game problem in general. I'm getting tired of the silent protagonist. I'm not feeling that anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe, Reach. Like, say I can't something. Do it anymore.
Also, get rid of the protagonist kills the entire party if they die and game over the trope. I hate that so much. It's like, if it's a party-paced game and anyone else goes down, you can revive them. Let them do it for the player character too, especially if you're controlling every single character.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Yep, 100%. I agree, 100%. That's always been the most, because then you have. I understand they're the leader of the group, but they become. They're literally the lifeline, so it's like, oh, never mind, you have to save all your potions and stuff for your main character, never mind the rest. Everyone else feels like pawns, and I don't like that.
They're all just fodder.
They're all just meat sacks there for,
Yeah, just to take some damage while you're strategizing. But I don't like when games do that. But Dragon Quest XI is great, though. I will say, though, I had to turn the music down because the music became overwhelming. Like, it was just... let me put it this way. Dragon Quest has really good music. Square Enix, in general, has always been incredible in the music department in all their games. I mean, they have some of the best compositions, I think, of any publisher, really. But... it just became so overwhelming in Dragon Quest XI.
It really is. It's loud and in your face the whole time. It's like,
and it loops. It loops. Uh-huh. It's like the same damn track that just loops, and then it might change when it goes to a different environment. But the thing is, like, this music stays consistent even in cutscenes, and half the time they don't even fit the cutscenes when they're trying to be emotional. And so I had to turn it down.
I knew it was going to be that way when you watch the opening cinematic. And they play the whole the song, and then it gets to the menu where you choose to play the game and stuff, and then it starts the exact same song over again, right in your face, really loud. It's like, okay, I know where this is heading. Not that it's not good, but my gosh, I can only hear that, so many times. It's like, it's iconic, but I've heard it a zillion times. Yeah, it sounds great.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't put it in my face every time I turn around, please.
Right. It's like, I get it. It's like, God forbid you forget you're playing Dragon Quest, and it's just like, play the song. They're getting out of it.
They're going to play it. Play that song. hit that tune. Hit it. We pay big money for it. You play it every dang time. Play. It's like...
Press play, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I had to turn it down, man. At first, I brought it down to about 80. And then about 50, and then now it's just sitting at 0, and I usually have my own playlist in the background.
There you go. Yeah.
So, overall, really good, solid game. In addition to that, I've also been in sort of like a fighting mood, and I have a long history of mainly Smash Brothers growing up, but just a lot of other fighting games in general, like Blaze Blue, like Guilty Gear, things like that. But I really wanted to jump into something new that was also accessible. And Granblue Fantasy Versus went on sale on Steam maybe a couple months ago. And I got it. It was like maybe like $7. And I was just like, I've been interested in that for a while. I just picked it up on PS4 a couple of times back when I actively played that. And I just never did. And you know, it was on sale, and I was like, you know what, finally, you know, yeah, let me try it out. Why not? And been having a blast with it, man. I think that's probably one of the best fighting games I've played in quite some time. I haven't put as many hours into it as I would have liked, but it is basically what I've wanted from a fighting game in a very long time, which is outside of its beautiful graphics, because this is an Arc System Works game, and they also worked on actually some of the newer Guilty Gears, if not all the Guilty Gears, as well as Dragon Ball FighterZ, which was just mind-blowingly gorgeous when that game came out, just because of the way they perfectly blended that 2D and 3D, you know, like it looks 2D, but it's technically 3D, you know,
yeah.
when you're playing it. So, but yeah, it's great. I mean, the character roster is really well designed. Like the illustrations are incredible. The character designs are just phenomenal. The charisma that each have. That each character has is really great. So every character is likable in their own way. They're balanced for the most part, but they all still feel unique enough that, you know, they have their own identity instead of feeling like copies of each other. You know, I think that's always been a lot of fighting games' biggest problems, is you tend to have clones in the roster, but that doesn't feel this way at all in Granblue Fantasy Versus, which I really appreciate. So, it's got a really cool story mode. It's just called RPG mode, though, instead of story mode, and it kind of plays, interestingly, like a side-scrolling brawler, or beat 'em up even. So yeah, I mean, you have enemies coming from both sides of the screen, you know, like Streets of Rage or something like that, and then yeah, you just go balls to the wall, you know, just hack and slash away, basically, kind of in a similar fashion. You know, but it still uses the same controls as, you know, when you're playing, you know, just a normal, you know, match. So, you know, you get used to those controls really well while playing RPG mode, while still experiencing a really great story. And again, with just phenomenal art and just incredible animation. I mean, this animation is just really just, they've really, Arc System Works, I think, have really established themselves as being one of the best developers, I think, when it comes to fighting games, because it seems like whatever they touch as of late just sort of immediately turns to gold. But I think the most important part is making sure that you have a system in place that is both accessible for newcomers, but also deep enough, I don't want to use the word complex, but deep enough that you can appease the more hardcore audience as well.
Right.
So people who want to spend, you know, 100 plus hours, people who want to go to esports tournaments and things like that, you know, people who want to play nothing but ranked matches and become, you know, grandmaster or whatever. So, you know, it's still, there's still something enjoyable there for them. Yeah. But also, something. Yeah, exactly. But also equally as enjoyable for people who maybe just want to run through, you know, just a story mode and want a nice chill fighting game to pick up. That's to look at too, you know. So but yeah, it's great. I'm having a great time with it. Granblue isn't really an established property here in the West, but in Japan it's massive.
Yeah.
Like it started off as a mobile game, if I'm not mistaken, in Japan. And it, I mean, we're talking like tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of downloads. So yeah, I mean it's a big deal. It's a big deal over, you know, over in not just Japan, I would say Asia as a whole. So Granblue Fantasy Versus sort of helps bring that property over, and I want to see more from it, man, because I really am in love with these characters. I love this world. I love the story. And again, with how good it feels to play this game, I want to see more. I want to see more. I want to have more. I know Platinum Games was actually working. I think they handed development over to another team. But there was like, I remember this got announced years and years and years ago, and we haven't seen any or heard anything since, but there was actually a action adventure hack and slash Granblue game that was coming out. It was, you know, it was over the shoulder. I mean, it almost looked like Nier, but, you know, Granblue basically. And but I don't know what happened with that. But so all we have right now is Granblue Fantasy Versus. But but not that I'm complaining, because it's a great game. But yeah, I've been playing that on PC, and you know, just playing with the controller on my computer, and yeah, I mean, it's been great. It's been really, really great. But yeah, in addition to that, I didn't pick up the game, but thankfully, you know, there was a trial that lets you play for about 10 hours. And so I got the trial for Need for Speed Unbound, because I was, you know, I mean, I love Need for Speed, man. Like, Need for Speed and Forza, you know, they're always high up there in terms of, like, racing games for me. So, and this one definitely piqued my interest since they first announced it, right? Because it was like, when you look at it, it seems very conflicting, right? You have this anime art style on top of photorealism, and it just is such a weird blend.
Yeah.
So, and it's honestly jarring to look at, but the more I played, the more I got used to it. And I think it's really unique and really clever, how they did it and all the customization that you can
do. What does it remind you of? Because I played a bit of it too, and I was like, you know, this feels so familiar. Like, I played this something like this before, but I can't really put my finger on it.
Honestly, that's a good question. Maybe
the Underground games. I was kind of thinking about that a lot when I was playing.
I definitely some vibes. I mean, I could definitely feel a little bit of like Heat, like the elements of Heat that still carried over into Unbound. But even Heat, you know, that you mentioned it, Heat was the first game in a very long time that definitely felt more underground than any.
I thought you were gonna say. It was the first game in a long time that wasn't crap.
Well,
well, honestly, you're not wrong. There's that to it. Hey,
there is that. I mean,
I like the Most Wanted. I think the other one I played a fair chunk about was like the Most Wanted. Was it the most recent one from like 2013? Yeah, that one was okay. Yeah. It was interesting.
Well, that was the last good one. Yeah,
really. That's a long time.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because they had good ideas, so you know, I don't want to blame them as a whole, but you know, historically speaking, I mean, you do have you have to put things together. But Ghost Games, who sort of took over development,
it prints money. Just make a game and make it decent. If the fans are gonna buy it,
exactly. But I think after 2013 or 2014, Criterion left, and then Ghost Games took over. And they basically were responsible for Need for Speed, basically from the reboot all the way up to Heat. And the reboot was trash. We all know how bad that was. Actually, no, they did Rivals, actually. Rivals was
okay. Rivals
they did,
okay.
Did Payback. Yeah. Did Rivals.
Who did Payback, The Run? So that was 2012. Need for Speed, The Run was a new
okay.
game, too.
Yeah. The Run was the last one I really enjoyed, man.
Yeah,
I remember picking that up.
That's a crazy game.
Yeah. Played that on PS3, man. I don't even know how many hours I have on that game, but I enjoyed that game very, very much. The Run. That was the last one I think I really like sat and played through, and I didn't touch a damn thing else until I beat that game. Like Need for Speed, The Run was great, like really, really great. At least as great as it could have been, considering you know we're talking post Underground, but still. Right. But yeah, no, I mean, overall though, Unbound, despite the sort of clash of, you know, art directions, it works and it plays really, really well. It looks great on both Series S and Series X, and cause that's where I was playing them. And I was enjoying it. You know, I'll pick it up in the future, but man, that is not. I will say, even though I appreciate Need for Speed sort of being back to some degree, I don't think it still, to me, doesn't feel like a $60 game. Even though, well, actually more, it's a $70 game.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's $70. It was on sale at Target last week for, I think, $40 or something like that, the physical.
And I was going to say,
I almost picked it up. But
I pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
Did you? At $40, that's not bad.
Okay. It's on Game Pass Ultimate, I think. So if you have that, you can play it. I think so.
I thought it was still on the trial because I have Game Pass Ultimate and
maybe it is a trial. I don't know.
Still the trial. Yeah. Still the,
I was
still
playing the trial.
I just remember seeing the logo.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a good way, a good way to taste it. Yeah. Good way to get a sample.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know if you have EA Play Pro on PC, this only applies to PC though.
Right.
Then you can spend the $15, you know, for EA Play Pro and you know play the entirety of Need for Speed.
If you want to risk it, CD Keys has a key code for PC for like 35 or 30 right
there
now.
You go.
So
yeah, there you go. Yeah,
not much risk involved.
I've had good luck with them.
Or just wait a little bit and the price will probably go down.
I bought a couple Game Pass Ultimate codes from CD Keys on Black Friday I was like, all right, let's see what, you know, I bought stuff no problem before. Yeah, I got pictures of scratched off codes of a card. Of a oh, yeah. Boy. I was like, oh, no.
We're just trying to help you out, man. Just scratching it so you don't have to.
Yeah.
So
I'm like, okay. <That's> a...
but yeah, no, I mean, I liked it a lot. Dude, the soundtrack this time around is killer. I think the soundtrack in Need for Speed Unbound is great. But yeah, the customization is really cool. I mean, the photo mode's really solid. The races are great. The story is sort of whatever. I mean, it's as good as a Need for Speed story can be, really. I mean, I think that's why I liked the run so much also, now that you mentioned it, just because the run at the time still had a solid story. It was a really neat story. Of, like, I mean, you're literally going across the U.S., right? I mean, it basically did what the crew did before the crew became a thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was really unique at the time, and quite frankly, mind-blowing. But yeah, I mean, Unbound is, you know, really, really solid so far. But yeah, still not, you know, despite being this big budget EA game, it still doesn't feel like a full $70 game to me, you know. And I still think, I mean, $40 is a good deal, you know, definitely for sure. But not, I you know, you can do better, you know. I don't really consider myself grabbing it until it's maybe. I think I could do 25. Like, you know, 25 I think is reasonable.
By that time, it will be on Game Pass. So it will be on the EA. It'll be on the EA thing in 6 months. So.
And that's the thing too, right? Is like, I know it's going to come to Game Pass, so that, I think that's why I'm also just not worried about it, because I know I'll get access to it at some point. Because, you know, I mean, all EA games at some point come to Game Pass because of the partnerships they have. So, you know, because EA Play is included in Game
Pass.
So. You know, so it'll be there. Yeah, just wait a couple months, it'll be there. So yeah, I'm not worried about it. So, but yeah, I just wanted to play the trial because, you know, I was in a racing mood, and, you know, it was, you know, brand new, and I just wanted to get a taste of it. And so far, I mean, you know, so far so good. You know, so but yeah, I you know, I'll just right now, I think I'll probably just, you know, unless there's like a crazy deal or a price error somewhere.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Then I'll pull the trigger. But otherwise, yeah, no, I'll just wait for it to inevitably come to Game Pass. So. But yeah, and then the last two, I've been playing on PC, as well as the phone, really, but mainly on PC. I say phone just because there is cross save, so it's nice to just, you know, play around with you, on your phone, you know, wherever you are. But yeah, the first one is Legends of Runeterra. I started jumping into this because all the Riot games now, you know, they have that partnership now with Xbox Game Pass. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to take advantage of all of that, just because you literally get over $1,000 worth of, you know, content completely for free just for being a Game Pass member. So I wanted to take advantage of that, download all of that, you know, and then, you know, just, you know, I mean, if I was feeling it, cool, then I'll play more. If not, whatever, I just uninstall it and, you know, come back another time.
Right.
I wanted to, you know, have all of that, because I know people, you know, spend God knows how much money, you know, getting gift cards and stuff just to buy a, you know, a new champion or a new skin or whatever.
Right.
You know, so I'm like, nah, if I can get all of that just by logging in and connecting my Game Pass account, we're good. Yeah, so I'd rather just do that. So, yeah, basically I did that with all the Riot games. I did that with Valorant. I did that with League of Legends. I did that with Teamfight Tactics, and then what are, you know, a couple of the other ones they have, Wild Rift. But Legends of Runeterra is the one that I've been playing the most. The rest I just kind of logged in for a second just to kind of take advantage of those perks. But Legends of Runeterra I've actually been sticking with, put a couple hours into it so far. It's basically Hearthstone. It is Hearthstone League of Legends. That is all it is, you know. It doesn't need to be any more than that, honestly, because Hearthstone is incredible, and Legends of Runeterra by default, because it is practically the same system. They add some interesting new mechanics and stuff to kind of, you know, make it a little more interesting, but otherwise, same deal. It's a lot of fun. The art is out of this world, man. I mean, I've always said Riot Games has some of the most incredible artists, I think, in the video game industry right now, you know, and even though I'm not particularly fond of, you know, their games or their communities, man, their art is just so on point. Like, I mean, I would love to just go to a museum of like nothing but their art, honestly. I'm serious. Like, I think they have incredible artists. It has like a story mode too, which is interesting. I wasn't expecting that. I thought it was just going to be like Hearthstone where you just jump in, you play a match and go against some random person and then you leave and then, you know, they try to coerce you into, you know, all these microtransactions that are just going to be that. But it's, you know, it's not that at all, actually. It's very much, you know, a full-fledged package of, like, here's a massive story mode that you can choose between all these various champions, all these various decks, a lot of which you get through the Game Pass, you know, collaboration. And, yeah, I mean, they just give you so many cards, man, if not almost all the cards. And it's crazy. Yeah, so you don't have to really look at the shop at all unless you want, like, a new, like, you know, card back, you know, some new sleeves or, you know, something, you know, to fancy up your profile, or, like, you can change the, you know, the scenarios that you're in when you're playing, so you can change, like, the layout of, like, you know, the match. But other than that, like, no, you don't have to spend any money anymore. Not with, not if you just connect your Xbox account. You're gonna know.
That's cool.
Yeah. So yeah, no, it's great. I've always loved Hearthstone. I love card games in general. So Legends of Runeterra has really been hitting that spot. Yeah, really just pleasantly enjoying it, and really getting myself into that that whole sort of world and that lore. Because, again, I've always loved the art, you know, and I know a lot of the characters just because of how popular they've become, you know.
Right.
But, you know, now actually being part of it through this card game is really, really, really interesting. But, yeah, and then in addition to that, lastly, I've been playing Counter-Side on both PC and mobile as well. I mainly found it as a mobile game at first, but then I was surprised. I saw it was on Steam, and I'm like, what? And then, but, you know, I don't like getting mobile games on the computer only because, you know, I'm not the type of person, I don't like to start over, man. But if there's cross save, we can do business. Guess what? There's cross save. So we did business. And so I downloaded it on Steam and played a little bit. I still mainly play on the phone. I think it's more suited for it because you can tell the PC version is just a straight port. And it's just upscaled to, you know, whatever your monitor is. So, but either way, you know, runs great, looks great, and yeah, all your stuff carries over, and it's a really cool game in which it sort of takes place in a sort of, you know, sci-fi future that is, it's hard to explain just because the story is like, it's a really good story, but it can be sort of convoluted. But to put it in simplest terms, it almost feels like, think like Metal Gear, but like super anime. instead, basically, at least in terms of, you know, you have a lot of this espionage stuff and, you know, the mechs and, you know, monsters and things like that. So it's really interesting, but it's really, really good. And yeah, but of course, you know, it does have those gacha mechanics and stuff like that, but this is a free-to-play game that is perfectly enjoyable, and you can see this from the Steam reviews as well. Perfectly enjoyable without spending a dime, and I love it because it's, again, the story's great, the mechanics are really simple, it's still engaging, it's still fun, and yeah, I mean, then you still, you know, you get that dope, you know, that dopamine hit of just like, oh man, this feels great to play, especially as you're, you know, leveling up your characters and seeing, you know, your damage, you know, go up and up, and those numbers go higher and higher as you're facing enemies, you know. Yeah. It's so yeah, the illustrations are great, the animations are great, and yeah, I really appreciate that there's cross save, you know, so yeah. I can just jump in from my phone and the computer at any point and yeah, pick up right where I left off.
Cross save's the best.
Yep, yeah, it is the best. Every game should have it. So.
Yep. I agree.
Yep. But yeah, that's everything I've been playing.
All right, Eric, bring us home. What have you been playing?
Alrighty, woo! My turn, saving the best for last. No, I don't have
to. Oh, wait, Eric's talking? I'm going to go now.
Oh, I got to go. I'm sorry, we're out of time. Thanks a lot, we'll see you.
Bye, buddy. Until next time.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
I don't have that much. I mean, yeah, I played the Unbound Trial, which you talked about a little bit. I tried that Metal Hellsinger. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Like that on Xbox Series S.
Yeah.
Nice little rhythm, you know, FPS game, and not a little bit of a story too. It's kind of interesting, and you don't have to be great at rhythm games, like I'm not.
Yeah.
So. And actually, that's what I was playing last night, waiting for something else to download, and I was like, all right, well, I'll check out Death's Door. So actually, I tried to play Dragon's Crown. Anyway, I played some Death's Door last night, and it's an interesting game. It reminds me a lot of Tunic.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Very similar. That.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tunic reminded me of Death's Door because Death's Door came out.
Oh, yeah, there you go. So. Yeah.
I would like to have more health in Death's Door. That's probably my biggest pet peeve. But the combat's good, and the puzzles are like light. There's not very much to the puzzle. It's an interesting kind of, you know, it's a Devolver game, so that's caught my eye.
Yeah.
The puzzles get bigger a little bit. Or at least there's some that you can get a little more involved.
That's why they invented walkthroughs, because that's what I'm
exactly. There you go.
Because I haven't got stuck yet, but I did run into something. I'm like, what does this mean? I'm like, oh, okay.
It's not as obscure as what Tunic had for a lot of its stuff, though.
Yeah. It's interesting. I'm at the very first big boss, so we'll see how well that goes. If I defeat her, we'll keep moving on, play a little bit more. It was just something to, you know, I played to like 3 last night. Way too late, but it was entertaining.
Man, I wish I could play games that late anymore. I just can't. It's like, right now, it's like, I'm like, well, it's like right now, I'm like, oh, it's 11 o'clock here. I should have been in bed an hour ago.
It's 8:15. Yes, I do. I have been finally giving my Steam Deck more love because it deserves more love. So I haven't played very much. I did. I own River City Girls. I'm like physically on PS4 from Limited Run. I own the PlayAsia 1 and 2 on Switch. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy it on Steam. It was on sale for like $13. I'm like, I can't say no.
No. Yeah, no, absolutely.
It runs fantastic.
Yep.
Of course. So I've installed some other stuff. I installed some older FPS games. I think the most modern game I installed, I think I put Doom 2016 on there. That'll be an interesting test.
Yeah, I think that one's verified, so it should run really
yep,
good.
Yeah, Shovel Knight works fantastic as well. I've been playing a crap ton of that, and that's good because, you know, the whole cloud saves. So I downloaded on the Steam Deck. I was like, uh-oh. I was like, oh, wait, this should be good. Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, that's cool.
But I put Baldur's Gate 2 on there. So tomorrow, depending if the weather is wherever we go, if we go to my parents' house for Christmas, the holidays, I'm taking it with me, and if I have a little bit of time, I'll dabble with Baldur's Gate, maybe a little bit of Heroes of Might and Magic, just to see kind of how well it plays with the mouse interface. It's a good test, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean,
I'll either be swearing lots and be like, never again, or, hey, this is 10 times better than this. This is way better than those Switch ports.
The trackpad is actually really good. I mean,
yeah,
it really is.
Okay, I haven't really played very much of those, but I am liking the Steam Deck. It's comfortable. Ergonomic feel is good.
Mm-hmm.
I got the nice screen protector on it, so... And I had this stuff on it a while ago, but now I'm finally playing.
Yeah.
I did find something that I did not enjoy. I tried Hong Kong Massacre, which is fine. Steam Deck verified, but I don't like the way where the triggers sit on the Steam Deck for playing that game. It does not work.
Huh.
That's interesting. I think I'd have to... I should, like, remap. I'll remap the button, but it bugged me. I couldn't play more than 10 minutes.
Huh. I don't play enough. I don't play enough with the games that use the triggers. It's like,
yeah, I was just kind of feeling out. I thought it might be an interesting game because it's quick. You got to really pay attention. See what it's like.
Yeah.
But that's it. I've not been playing very much.
Yeah.
I've definitely been enjoying what I have been playing.
Cool. Well, I mean, there really hasn't been any news. It's Christmas time. There's not news. I mean, the only thing is, Epic paid almost $500 million to the FTC. Yeah. Preying on little kids with Fortnite. So there you go. I mean,
hey, the only reason that they're having to pay is because they're the big dog on the block. So they got someone to come after them because they're not the only one who does the same. What do they call it? Dark patterns or whatever in this article you linked to.
Yeah, I thought like, that was funny.
They are not the only ones. They mentioned stuff about like mobile too, that there have been mobile companies that have had similar rulings against them. But yeah, it's like even if you take mobile out of it, there's other free to play games.
Oh, yeah.
Terrible things, and until like someone slaps them down and says, hey, no, think of the kids.
Yeah.
They're not going to think of the kids beyond, hey, give us all your parents' money.
Who's will think of the children? Anyway. one thing I will say before we go, I have been listening to the Audible version of Cliffy B's autobiography, Control Freak.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to buy that. Pretty good.
Buy it. It is totally worth either a read or an audiobook listen. It is really interesting.
Does he talk about It talks about all the Ferraris he has, right?
Well, it's his entire life. It's from...
I bought the red one when we did well in this game.
Yeah.
And 3 years later, it was the yellow one.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's real interesting. It's a real interesting story because it starts, you know, well, from his childhood. He talks about his childhood. He talks about his dad passing away. He talks about how he got into making shareware games and then got in with, you know, with all them guys. And it's... He's a year older than me, but it's funny to... He was born... Yeah, he's a year older. He was born in February... On February 12th of 75. I was born on February 14th, 76. So... It's funny to listen to him around the same time period as me. You know, oh, yeah, here was the NES, and I loved it. I was like, yeah, I remember that. Oh, there's the Genesis, and then the
Super. Okay, you convinced me. I bought it.
It's really, really good. It reads like he talks. I mean, it's just there's a if you do the audiobook version and you're listening to it around people that are sensitive about the F word, you know. Just to let you know, he does, you know, use language in it. Yeah, he's got language in it. I mean, he talks about his first marriage. He talks about it's literally a chronological story of his entire. I'm up to the release of Gears of War, and that's where I met him when we went to the Gears of War release party. And it's funny to hear this now, it's like, oh, I just figured he just drank a lot at the party. No, man, he was like in deep depression at that time. He was in a divorce with his wife. He was an alcoholic at that time. It wasn't he was just drinking at that party. He was an alcoholic. You know, it was like wow, okay. But it's so far. I mean, like I said, I'm halfway through it. It is a excellent book. If you like any kind of like insight into video games from the 80s all the way up, it's really good.
I'd be interested to know like more about like what got involved with like the shareware and stuff. That'd be kind
of yeah, and it's there's that. A lot of it. I mean, you know, message boards and shareware and you know, how he was making money
I played a ton of those old Epic kind of shareware era games.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. It's really interesting. I need to finish it. I just haven't. This
does he talk about ZZT? Was he around then?
I don't think so.
That's like old way back in Epic's history.
Yeah, no, I don't. I think it's about where he came on. I forget what the first game was that he did for them now.
Yeah, that might have been just Tim Sweeney.
Sweeney. Yeah.
Might have just been him around doing that.
Yeah, it's real interesting though. If you guys like any of that stuff, buy it. You know, do a free trial, do a free 30-day trial of Audible and buy the Audible version and listen to it. It's you know, if you don't want to read it, it's good. It's really really good. So I highly recommend it. So all right, well we're going to call that a show. This will probably be our last one for the year. I know I'm not busy next week. I'm off till the first of the year, but we probably won't do a show next week unless we may decide to. I don't know. Do we do a year-end show before the end of the year, or do we?
Never do.
No, we never do. It's always in January. It's always the first one. The recap is always on the first, so it'll probably be around the 7th of January is when we'll be back. Like I always say, follow us on Twitter at GL_podcast if you want to know when we go live and you want to come hang out, because I've still got a crap ton load of Steam keys we can give out. So if you come to anybody that ends up coming to the chat is probably going to get a frigging game for free because there's just so many of them. So,
that's what happened today.
Yep. So, but like I say, if you want to do that, if not, if you got to, you know, subscribe on the Podcatcher, you'll get it when we put it up. So, all right, guys. Well, thanks a lot for hanging out with us and listening. Enjoy the holidays, and we'll see you next year.
podcast is part of the Gamers Lounge Radio Network. Get more gaming news and shows at www.the-gamers-lounge.com.